This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back after a long hiatus.
Like 3 weeks or so.
We're assholes, man. Well, actually, we're just busy.
Yeah, let's see when the last show we put out was December 28th. I guess it hasn't been that long. It was a week ago. We put out The End Is Nigh. Remember we read the
I think it was a shit episode, too, but it's whatever. Like it. Neither here nor there. What are we talking about today?
Today we are coming back around to the moon landing.
We're going
to
redux it a little bit, but
as most of you have heard, China recently has just sent a new unmanned probe over to the moon, to the dark side of the moon. It's been all the...
It's actually the far side. It's not the dark side of the moon because it sees as much sun as any other part
fair
of
enough,
the moon.
Fair enough,
it's just we don't get to see it, so it's the fair far enough. Side.
Dark to us, yes.
Dark to us.
So we thought, well, did they really do it? Probably.
Same sense in dark as in dark matter, where it's not just dark. It's dark because we don't know what the fuck it is.
You know,
so
that,
dark
well, now
we
they have a new theory on that. Did you read the report about that? That
yeah, it's just a couple days
extra,
ago.
An extra
yeah.
dimension or something yeah. that we're on, like, we're on this big bubble and all our universe and our four dimensions are on the edge of that bubble.
Which is so many more dimensions.
Just adding yeah. another dimension.
I can't think about that shit right now, Armand. I got too much on my mind. we got to get the moon going.
Well, I'm just saying.
Before we get to that, though,
I don't
got some voicemails.
Oh, good.
Voicemails.
Been a while
these are
since
always
we did
fun.
Voicemail,
I love
yeah.
these, yeah.
We got a couple weeks worth of voicemails. We're going to start with one I don't think that we've played on the show before. Actually, I want to start on Luar's because we've only got 24 seconds of Luar, and we love the guy.
Yeah, so, Luar.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't remember if we played it all.
Luar.
So here's the first one from Luar.
You guys heard about the religion of the dude from the Big Lebowski movie?
I do remember.
We talked about
great
this.
Movie.
You called him an asshole. Everybody that does
they
it
have,
is an asshole, he said.
They have their own.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep playing it though because you know why not?
You guys heard about their religion? Here. They have their own website here, dudism.com.
I'm not going there, Luar.
Looks all official and whatnot.
Right.
It's kind of like a club more than I would say a religion, in my opinion. I mean, I guess you can call yourself a religion, but again, I'd have to go back to you're an asshole.
Message.
Move on. You
oh,
say, yeah.
And oh yeah, I forgot to tell you guys,
fuck
Team Armand.
Hey.
I was hoping for a fuck ever.
Man.
That's even worse.
I love that guy.
You love that guy, do you?
I wonder do. Why. He's great. I got to friend him on Facebook, damn it.
I'm friends with Luar, I believe.
Sweaty Dolphin yeah. asks how the song's coming. We got about over a minute.
I haven't worked in forever.
But you're over a minute.
Yeah.
2.5 minutes, maybe.
I'm actually willing to release all my source material out to the group if anybody wants to give it a rip because I'm just lazy.
If we got any editors out there.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. This is a message from Matt. This was sent over a month ago. We haven't used it. I don't think.
Started listening to the show about 3 weeks ago. Haven't stopped yet.
Right on.
Favorite episode was Pizzagate.
Man. Yeah.
Bummer. So that, I would say, makes me Team Eric.
Ha-ha.
Makes sense.
On Facebook, Everett. Told you I'd wait to send it out on a voicemail. So, fuck Everett.
Ooh.
Right back at you, buddy.
I liked it.
Right back at you. All right, here's one from our longtime friend, Kevin Yarrow.
Uh-oh, I like Kevin's stuff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Because I'm one of those people who would jump off of a bridge if everyone else was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Want to
yeah,
be left
sure.
out. Fuck you, Everett.
Yeah.
Ooh, thanks, Kev.
Geez,
love you, buddy.
You're really taking your lumps today, aren't
I
you?
I love taking my lumps. They're good. God.
How's the team standings?
Oh, I don't know.
Eric's way ahead, I'm sure. I haven't looked really? In months, but last I checked, he was like 10% ahead, so I stopped looking.
Speaking of that, yeah, go over to SurrealTalkPodcast.com, vote in the poll.
I've even putting on secret team videos American. On YouTube and Facebook about go vote for Team Everett. It hasn't been doing me any good.
That's because cheaters never win.
Let's take a look. We got to hurry up through this because people
I challenge
are mad
that.
At us, but let's see. You got me 428 to 401, so it's not that bad.
Damn, 800 and something people thought enough to vote.
Trolling us, we're getting yours today, buddy.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll do it right now. Let me roll down and find it.
Oh, shit.
What song is Sweaty Dolphin talking about?
Everett's doing a Fuck
oh,
You
that's
Everett
right,
song.
That's right. Oh, it's a song. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, even just a compilation right. of the clips.
Put some music, though, right?
Are you, you're going to do a beat? Everett, you're going to mix it up? You're
yeah,
gonna
it's,
do
already,
a beat?
It's already.
You're going to spin it and
it's
shit?
It's kind of got a Mexican thing.
Oh, wicka, 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 fuck you, Everett. Fuck you.
Can't you use some... Can't you use some classical music?
Damn it, I can't find your voicemail, drone.
Wagner oh, like, opera like, or something?
Yeah. When was the last time you sent one?
1812 Overture or something.
And then,
ooh, fewer release.
Fuck you, Everett.
That's not too bad. Anyway, we'll keep them going. Hey, drone, leave me another one real fast and we'll play it today. All right, let's see. Moving on, this is, let's see, Old Schmied.
Schmied, eh?
Hey, boys, it's Old Schmied.
Hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to say I really like the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Listen to it all the time.
Cool.
Keep pulling out those new episodes because we need them in our life. Got to say, Team Eric, for sure.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
We need you,
hell
though.
Yeah, bud.
You keep us from going
who do we need?
Down. Everett, we need you, though.
Yes, you do.
Keep us from going
glad you realize
down
that.
The rabbit hole too deep, so... I respect that. Sometimes you just gotta let Eric talk, though, man. He's,
fuck him.
Yeah, even though you don't agree with him, sometimes I don't. But even though you don't agree with him, let him finish his point at least.
Yeah, right.
We prefer to drown him out.
Is Team Eric for sure? So Everett, just shut the fuck up and let Eric talk.
Shut the fuck up, Everett. I like.
Keep on keeping on.
Thanks, man. You too, bro. Laughs a garden, dig it, brother.
That was funny.
My God.
All right, now we got a nice anonymous 17-seconder here. Let's see what this does.
Guys, doing an episode on David Hall in Orlando shooting already. Damn, been waiting
there
forever.
That's running it.
Team Eric, fuck you, Everett.
Yes, yes.
Again?
Fuck you, Armon.
Oh,
yeah. High five, buddy. Fuck
got
you, Armon.
Can't stand that guy.
Can't stand that guy.
Jeez. Well,
fuck you, Armon.
That's
yeah.
great.
Rather passionate listener.
That's funny. Hey, here comes one.
What, David Hogg was he talking about?
Yeah, he's
you
one
guys
of those.
An episode on him?
No, he wants us to.
Oh, he just got into Harvard with a 1270 SAT.
Yeah.
How did he
good
do
luck.
That?
Good luck. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Because he's David Hogg. His dad works for the CIA or some shit, doesn't he? What's his dad do? His dad does something fucking government-related high up, and I can't remember what it is.
Nick would be good on that show. He's got some...
Nick would be good in almost any show,
yeah.
to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. Well, you name a conspiracy.
I like Nick. We do the show with Nick on Fridays, but the thing, like, my issue with how he does those conspiracies is he presents a lot of it as fact.
Yes.
And there's no one. So like whatever. And I do, even if I try to say this is what happened, there's someone here to reality check me or,
yeah.
you know, kind of rebuke what I'm saying.
Keep you from being an asshole.
No. Rebut.
Is that what it is? Rebut. Yeah, rebut. Okay. Rebut what
a
I
rebuke
say.
Rebuke means fuck you. That's a rebuke.
Oh, well, yes. that happens. So,
well,
yeah.
Happens
okay.
Too.
So that
but
in,
rebut,
as well.
Rebut your assertion.
Right.
Anyway, I do that to Ocho Man.
Hmm.
No, I can't pass everything off as fact, man. When I make my mind up, I will, but I'm open to new information.
Yeah, right. No, he's pretty, he's immovable. He's an immovable object.
Who?
Nick.
Nick.
Oh, yeah.
He brooks no debate.
I'm trying to find this voicemail I left on fucking, I don't know. Hey, send me a link to it if you can, Drunts, or any kind of help you can give me. Did they call him Drunts?
He said, you left a link to my recording on Discord. Ever.
Yeah, I don't remember where, though.
Well, we have a fucking server, so it's got to be
in
there.
I'm looking. I just don't see it. Been a while, man. Been a while. Topic suggestions, paranormal, conspiracy. Could be anywhere. All right, I'm going to move on. Next right. one here is from a Matt Johnson.
Oh, man. Okay.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
So, Matt.
Hey, first of all, I just wanted to thank you guys for everything you do, keeping me entertained day in, day out. And I was wondering if you guys had looked into that Chinese social credit score thing. Just
somewhat.
As a credit score, but for good deeds and your social life and stuff like that. Kind of like that Black Mirror episode. I've been reading a little bit about it. It sounds pretty interesting, but I don't think we have the whole story yet. So I was just wondering what you guys thought about it.
I need to look more into it, exactly what the parameters are.
Thank you again for everything. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, before I go,
what it affects is
Team Everett all the way, baby.
Oh, hey, come on.
Right. Fooled you. What? Fuck you, Everett.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that hurts.
Fucking message of the day.
Oh,
I guess where we played that before.
How sharper than a serpent's tooth.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, fooled
you.
I was about to get my hand
I forgot
for
all about that.
Oh,
I
that
remember
hurt.
Listening to that the first time in the office. I was like, yeah, he said Team Everett. And then he goes, fooled you. I was like, what?
Oh.
Motherfucker.
Ooh.
All right, hold on a minute.
Oh my god,
that was good.
So I was just wondering what you guys thought. Just thank you again for everything. And oh yeah, before I go, Team Everett all the way, baby. Fooled you. Fuck you, Everett.
Creative.
You, sir, are the best of the day, I think.
That one hurt.
That was good.
Yeah, I bought it, too.
Oh, well. Can't win them all. Moving on. This one's from Matt.
Hey,
Matt.
This is George H.W. Bush. I'm up
on,
here in Walker's
the old one.
Point, Kennebunkport, Maine. Drinking a little bit of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
He's got a good
and
old brew.
I just wanted to say one thing.
Uh-oh.
That is,
here it comes.
Who gets it?
Fuck you, Everett.
Yes. Man, yes.
Not good at the whole George H. Dub Bush.
I thought it was fine.
Voice.
He did okay.
Like man. I said, fuck you, Everett.
As long as you get that part in.
Too fun.
Yeah.
Same call.
I love it. All right, next one's from Oscar. Pretty sure we've had
hey
Oscar
guys,
a couple times.
Hey, guys, third-time caller.
Yeah,
this is Oscar out here in Austin, Texas. I just wanted to give you guys a topic or just a point of interest you guys might want to look into. And that
is Oscar.
The Frost Tower in downtown Austin, Texas.
Frost Tower.
It's if you don't know about the Frost Tower,
I don't.
It's this huge statue skyscraper in the shape of an owl right downtown, man. Now, what makes this interesting is the fact that
Moloch, I think
it was the first skyscraper finished and completed after the 9/11 attack.
You know, no shit.
It's too big of a coincidence for me to think of after the largest human sacrifice in American history, they erected a skyscraper-sized statue of an owl in downtown Austin.
I don't get the whole.
Haven't looked much into it. It's just.
I think this
bit of facts that I came up upon.
I think the significance.
You guys would do the
research. You don't understand what we're trying to do here, brother.
All right, bye guys. Fuck you, Everett.
Fuck you, Everett.
Damn
it!
Right at the end, you gotta love that.
I think the significance of the owl is like.
There's a picture on the screen there. Does it look like an owl to you? I mean, a little bit, I guess. Like any kind of bird-like.
Yeah.
Kind of bird-like.
Avian.
Yeah, avian in general, but I don't know.
That's a stretch, but.
Ornithological.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
somebody's
like
listening to my show. Yeah, we strive for exactitude.
Yeah, that's one of your sayings.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right. That's a mantra.
All right, moving on. Thanks, Oscar, for that. Moving on to Ashlyn. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Ashlyn from Kentucky.
I just
finished
that.
Listening to your medical fuckery episode.
That was a good one.
All right.
And it just made me start thinking about when my mom had cancer and how much it cost my family to...
Boy.
Have her go through her chemo, all the equipment they brought to the house before she passed away. And it cost my dad nearly $400,000 before insurance. And after insurance, he still had to pay a couple thousand. And then it made me think of when I had my daughter and with the C-section and how they admitted me in the hospital a week early. It cost me almost $100,000 before my insurance.
Jesus,
wow,
man.
And after insurance, I still had to pay a couple hundreds.
Unbelievable.
So, it just makes me think, like, why is the medical industry so hell-bent on charging people who don't have insurance at all or has, you know, state?
I'd like to stop that right there. I think I can answer that. Because if they don't charge the people without insurance that, they can't charge the people with insurance that. You know what I mean? You start making precedents. We're only charging you this because you have insurance that could pay for it. Insurance is going
to
be like, fuck
well,
you.
Well, we've gone over that. I'd like to do another show on that, actually. But
would you medical fuckery part do?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's set one up. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Again. All right, we got another little bit on the same
voice.
Yeah, I
feel, well, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. But yeah. I'm sure that's a story that's told over
pretty
and
common,
over.
Yeah,
absolutely. Unfortunate.
25 minutes in, we got to break into the moon soon.
I know.
Insurance
two more voicemails.
That doesn't pay as much as you would like, and you still have to pay an excessive amount just to go to the hospital for... You know, being sick. So, Armand, really the questions for you is why is the medical industry ravaging on money? And
because it's controlled by humans, and humans are fucking greedy.
No, because it's
back in early December.
Because the government got involved and took out free market sources. That's why.
Is that right?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, yeah. I mean, a lot of this is some of the myths of medicine and. And I tell people honestly, if I had cancer, I don't have medical insurance. If I had, I would refuse. I wouldn't take any chemo.
No.
I would not have any. I wouldn't have treatment. No, I would fast.
You would die.
No, I would try fasting, and I would.
And
have
I would
the
go
cannabis.
To your funeral.
No sugar.
Absolutely, eliminate the sugar.
Oh, man.
Fast.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yep. And CBD oil. Yeah. And Essiac tea.
Coming from a doctor.
I dated a gal
feet,
that worked
but that's
I don't
in a cancer clinic.
Dietrist.
She said, yeah, but I dated a woman who was a nurse in a cancer clinic. She
you
said,
had to take
I would
general
never have
fucking
chemo.
Anatomy classes and shit, right? Like, yeah, you had to be a somewhat, fucking doctor, you have to know right. the body.
Well,
I'm just telling you what I would do for what it's
I don't know. It just seems crazy to me. It's like, you might as well just eat mushrooms to make yourself feel better. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, doesn't it?
I'm just saying, your odds of surviving cancer are probably better doing what I just told you than having all the chemotherapy and radiation.
Well, let's do a study then, see if anybody's
95%
willing to
of doctors,
look
it up. 95%
these
of
guys,
oncologists
right.
agree that chemotherapy is worse for you than it helps kill cancer.
These guys.
Really? Where'd you get that 95%?
I
number?
Made that fucker up.
I thought so.
It doesn't. Let me tell you something, how they, you know, to me, if you come into my office and you have a bunion and I fix it surgically yeah. and it doesn't hurt anymore and you can get into shoes, that's a success.
Sure.
Okay, to a cancer doctor, if you come in and his diagnosis is or prognosis is you've got 3 months and he gives you 4 months through all this, that's a success.
I mean, I guess you could look
correct.
At it that way.
They don't
that's
cure
the way
anyone.
They look at it.
Absolutely.
They,
that is,
yeah, it's
that
not
is
a
rule
cure.
Of success. They don't cure anybody.
Yeah, so when you see the statistics of cancer success,
right. success
rates,
rate.
Survivor
right.
success rates.
That qualifies. We bought you 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
They probably told you to adjust your diet, and that's what ended up
I don't know if they
buying
do
you
that,
the 2 weeks.
Right,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
It could be, but
this the best way to live forever is not eat,
on top of
weirdly.
It.
Yeah, well.
Like extreme calorie deficits.
Or breathe. Don't breathe anything.
No, just not eating, they say, is the best way to extend your life.
So absolutely. We got any more VMs?
I'm on a fast right now. 48 hours.
We got two more VMs here. Yep. We got to finish up this one though. Ashlyn's actually in chat,
okay.
so
great.
I'd have to say I'm team both.
Oh, okay.
Some days I'm team Eric
diplomatic.
For his conspiracy thoughts, and
that's
then
right.
some days I'm team Everett for the logical side. So
that's right.
Keep it you're up. The logical
okay,
side.
Bye.
I am the logical side. What side would you say I'm on? Hold on.
You're the indifferent side.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't really
I'm
give
just,
a shit. That's
I'm indifferent until somebody tries to pass bullshit. You know what I mean? That's when I got in trouble. Like, hold on, now you're not making sense. That's where I got real trouble with it. You can pass off all you want all along.
I don't think Everett and Nick could do a podcast about conspiracies together.
Why?
It would
you
not.
Know that was the original plan?
That was the original plan? That would not have worked. That would
have been funny.
See? Look at it. I'm sorry, Ashlyn. That's terrible. Unbelievable. It is a bummer. In fact, you know, one of my best friends, his mother just died of cancer, and my friend's sister is an oncologist at UCLA, and she went back home to treat her mother personally, and of all things, my friend and his father, said, who is a cardiologist, by the way, said, please stop treating her because what she was going to do, even by her own admission, maybe would extend her life maybe a month or two.
Yep.
And she's putting the poor lady through hell.
Yeah.
These are the most cutting edge. This is her own mother she's treating. And the father and brother, who are both doctors, just begged her to stop treating their mother and let her, you know. So that's what we're talking about. That's where we're at.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucking
so
shady
everybody,
deal.
Stop eating. And this is before you get cancer.
Not
fast,
altogether, though, permanently.
Fat,
don't
well,
stop
if you
eating
want,
permanently.
It's even better.
Well, you have to have food.
Fast 48 hours a week or eat one meal a day. And obesity is a big kill. And try to meditate and keep your cortisol levels low.
Lost me on the meditation.
Yeah, right. That helps.
How many meals a day you reckon a caveman ate?
One a month, maybe. They kill a mastodon.
Oh, now, come on. They had to be a little more than that.
Not necessarily.
I mean, necessarily.
You get your electrolytes. You drink salt water, and you get your electrolytes.
I don't know enough to dispute it.
Yeah, he's got a point there. Yeah. All right, that's it for voicemails this week. Right. We'll catch back up with those next week.
We'll do medical. That'd be great. Medical fuckery part two.
Yeah,
no,
I'm
there is not. Not
that.
Next week. There will be no next
no,
week.
No, not next week. Week after. No,
huge next event next week. By the way, we will not
really
be on.
Huge, pretty huge.
Pretty fucking
huge.
Huge
for us.
Like 4 million impressions on Twitter with that.
It's huge for us.
Huge for us.
All right, so a couple questions right off the bat. We talked about this already. Why redo this? We've not seen it talked about much lately in normal channels you see, or your Reddits or YouTubes. Nothing quite talked
about. A
lot
of your other popular conspiracies seem to come up a lot more often. You might see one thread about the moon landing or some aspect thereof once every 6 months, you know, or something. I'm just saying it doesn't show up.
It's been 50 years now. This is the 50th year anniversary.
Correct. Yeah. July 20th. That'll be
1969,
50 years.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's 19. I'm like, didn't it happen in 69? Like, it's, but
yes.
Yeah, it's fucking 2019. So,
that's
sorry.
Correct. Yeah.
Also, I don't really recall the first episode when we talked about this over 2 years ago.
Over 2 years was the last time.
Two and a half years ago?
Was when we talked about God, we've been doing this show for... How long have we been doing this?
Started in April in 16, so we're almost 3 years now.
Jesus.
Yeah. And China state media claims they landed on the dark side of the moon, which we, again, just talked about. Looking that up, do you think they did it, or do you think this is more propaganda? Well, I don't see why they're using
it. I bet they did it. I bet they did it.
Well, that's the way to do it, right? I mean, if you're going to fake it, let's be logical. Yeah, we went on the other side.
And I bet...
Nobody would know.
Now, listen, think about China's, like, intentions here. Trump announces Space Force, says he's going to commandeer space, basically. China, like, I can't have none of that. Let's get some shit up there. I don't know what this fucker's planning, but we got to do something. So they're trying to actively insert themselves into this... whole new fucking area that we're going to be dealing with. You know what I mean? Because we don't know who's, I want to say property, like whose fucking territory space is. Like, if you want to try to classify that as a, oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a treaty. There's lots of stuff. Nobody owns space or anything in it.
Antarctica, same thing.
I do.
You can't shoot off nuclear weapons in space, things like that.
Didn't they hit the moon with the nuke and it rang like a bell? I thought I heard that.
Oh, God damn it. No, they didn't. You can't make the moon ring. There's no sound in space.
Well, that was the conspiracy.
It should vibrate, I guess. But
yeah,
no.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, no.
Anyway.
What was that?
I refuse to do that again.
No, I don't mean the sound effect.
It's a reverberation.
Oh.
The moon. He says that we hit the moon with a nuke and it made it ring, like it vibrated and it rang out like a bell. I mean, it's just one of those silly moon conspiracies you hear out there.
Well, I wonder how does that go? Because you can't have an explosion in space, right? Everything kind of...
Well, there's no fire. Well, I imagine you could still have an explosion.
I don't think so. I don't think things explode in space.
Well, whenever things go out from a central point, that's an explosion.
You still have to have something to push against, so don't you? There's no atmosphere, so they just kind of collapse.
Well, what if you have...
the fireball would, but there would still be damaging force exerted.
In every direction.
Right?
I'm not sure about that, because I thought that was one of the main...
Well,
you know,
force,
when you look
if you have a stick of dynamite that you blow up in space...
Yeah, right.
It's not going to implode in on itself. It still has to go out. Every action, there's an equal opposite reaction. It's going away from it. It's pushing off of itself.
Right.
More or less.
I thought that
it would be significantly less, I'm sure, but it would still explode and fucking kill you, I bet, if you were holding it in your hand.
We'll Google that right now. Can there be explosions? Because
I thought that was one of the main objections to a lot of these space movies, that things don't explode in space and everything else.
Well, if there was a fire in a vacuum.
You have to have oxygen.
Exactly.
To have fire,
so, well, it'll start, but it'll burn out. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Filter.
So the quick Google answer, chemical explosions will also explode in space since they function by breaking weakly bonded chemical components. No oxygen is necessary.
Sense.
Right.
Nuclear explosions can, of course, occur in space, too. However, in space, there's no atmosphere to transmit sound, so there would be appear to be silent. So, yeah, it looks like explosions can totally happen in space.
These are chemical and nuclear, though.
Right.
Well, what other kinds are there?
That's a good point. I mean,
what other kind of explosion?
What if it's a pressure? Pressure explosion from like air pressure, but that it wouldn't happen in space. But that could be an explosion.
You puncture a hairspray can in space,
or anything like an oxygen canister. You can make an oxygen canister explode in space. Say it's under like liquid under
pressure.
Yeah, all that would go from high pressure to low pressure. That's just the way it works.
Would a gun shoot in space?
Sure would.
Yeah. A gun will shoot in space in a vacuum chamber. I'm sure. Would a gun shoot like? There's no explosion is what we're saying here, Armand. I'm trying to equate
this. Well, it's a chemical explosion, though, right? Mm-hmm. That's what propels it, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, work for it.
I'm gonna look up that.
We are ignorant on space, and let's not make that so obvious.
Yeah.
Moving along.
But, I mean, I just thought of that, though. Wouldn't you say if we faked the moon landing, to get back to the subject, you just say we went to the dark side?
That may be a good way to, you know, nobody...
That's what I'd say.
You can't even verify that with the best telescope. Of course, they say... Right. That even you can't see the shit we did on the moon with the best telescopes on Earth. The best you can get resolution on is something the size of a small house. So you couldn't see the lunar module, the lunar landing area, the flag, none of it.
Of course, there's no evidence for us human laymen, fucking nobody, you know, bottom feeders to go and verify that they went there.
So let's get into the
syllabus here. We would start by listing like a couple of cool facts about the Apollo 11 mission. Right. So the Apollo 11 mission was the mission that first landed humans on the moon, part of the Apollo space program.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins, I think, were the first humans to land.
Right, July 16th through July 24, 69.
So Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong spent 21 hours and 36 minutes time on the moon's surface.
And that's part of the biblical... Adam, Abel, and Cain, the first three men.
Hmm.
And it's Aldrin, Armstrong, and Collins.
You see? Interesting.
The parallel between the Bible and the first ones on the moon.
There's a lot of weird parallels drawn on the moon landing.
Yeah.
If you get on the internet and start Googling stuff.
What kind of rocket did it use, Everett? We watched a nice video of
Saturn
these rockets.
It was a Saturn V, which is like the biggest rocket that we've ever fucking made. Yes. Eric and I spent some time learning about the Apollo program and the rocket.
We focus on the wrong shit, okay, people?
Well, it's interesting.
Right.
Well, they made, what was it, 15 of these fucking things, only used 13 of them. But it's the only vehicles that have ever transmitted or transported.
They're the only ones
US
that have never non-malfunctioned as well.
I'm
so
sure
a Saturn rocket has never malfunctioned.
Yeah, I know the Russians had a lot of problems with their rockets.
Yeah, their Luna, their unmanned program Luna. So they would send up probes or whatever to the moon, you know, just to do like a flyby or whatever. And they wouldn't even give them a mission name unless they made it out of low Earth orbit. They were like, yeah, it never happened.
That's the way to do it.
You got to love it. You might be part Russian, Armand.
I never admit I'm wrong. It's the way never admit anything. But yeah, when you talk about the Chinese too, I'm not sure this is for any military, but this, wouldn't you say this whole space race, which I don't know, I guess we're starting again with the Chinese now.
Coming back
up,
yeah.
It's all a matter of national pride. I mean, what do we really get out of it?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I don't know,
right? What do we get out of it? Nothing.
Tang, right?
To sound like a conspiracy guy, it keeps us from looking at the other stuff. You know what I mean? The other important stuff. It's national pride about something, you know, really that doesn't matter.
So was it worth it?
Was it going to the moon in the first place?
Or do you want to end the show with that question?
Yeah, I think we give our final thoughts with that. Okay. Yeah,
We'll get back to that. So spend some time, get on the internet, look up the actual Saturn V, and let's talk about it, Eric. The madness of like, say you were interviewed to go up and Apollo missions.
I'll read what I wrote down. So the planning and math and science involved in this mission is mind blowing. Even with today's technology, if you were to sit me down at a job interview and tell me this was what we had to do, I would say, you're looking for, this is a suicide mission then, right? I mean, I'm going to die.
So what's included in this, Eric?
So there's like,
do you remember the
first off, the maybe get killed from radiation, maybe not, we don't fucking know, but they said they spent 4 hours in that Van Allen radiation belt and there wasn't enough exposure.
No.
But how do you know whether it's going to be enough or not? I mean, right.
I think they've got
it. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're trusting some smart guy.
Sound like the people who write these theories out there.
Now, hang on, I'm not
you
done,
see
though.
How, you can see, well, going right through Van Allen radiation belts, how do they know? They can tell how deep these Van Allen radiation belts are. They can get a pretty good idea
for
that.
How radiate? Like,
yeah, you can see the energized particles from Earth. What's going on in there? They can tell how fast your vehicle is going to be moving.
Can they tell you if you spend 4.5 hours in there versus 4 hours, now you'll get cancer in 4 hours?
I think it has to do with the intensity of the particles, and there was a certain, obviously there's an element of risk to it, but.
Exactly.
But there's an element to everything.
And then they've got.
I work next to the hospital, which has an X-ray machine. You know what I mean? It's like.
And then like when you watch. The actual what they did when they left Earth here. So they took off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, Kennedy Space Center, Mission Control's Houston, Texas. Everybody knows though, Houston, we have a problem. So they took off from here, and then they don't. So another idiot me about space was thinking that they go straight up, right? That's not the fucking case. They go like this.
Yeah, they get
out of the atmosphere at an angle instead
of. See, again, you're making it seem like they turn like that. The planet's moving, man, under them. They might be going straight up, but think if you're going straight up and the planet under you is going like this. Think about it from the ground. Your base is moving.
Like Marty McFly.
I think it's a more or less vertical
takeoff. Three-dimensionally, really.
Yeah, I think when they come back, of course, they skipping on the atmosphere, et cetera. They have to come in at an angle. But
so they came out of the atmosphere. And I think that they did one orbit around Earth and then shot their trajectory to the moon. Took them 3 or 4 days to get there. And then, like, so once they get in there, though, this is the fucked up part because they don't have, like, computers back then that could graph this shit out and show you in a precise way. This was math
that they figured this out by.
That
lady they made the movie about is still alive. I think she just turned 100. The black lady who was the genius that did a lot of the calculations in her head.
Yeah, but so.
His name Johnson, I think it was.
So after they get to the moon.
Genius.
Now they got to enter lower the moon orbit. So they get, 2 miles from the surface, I believe, and that caused them a regular orbit around the moon.
No, they can't safely start. There was 50,000 feet above. They can't start their descent until they're 2 miles away from the command module and the service
above
module.
Oh,
surface.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
50,000 feet.
Right, right. Okay.
So anyway, they separate from the service module and the command module and begin their descent, which, again, here's another one of the big conspiracy theories. Why were there no craters on the moon where it landed? Well, for one, you got six times less gravity.
Right.
So that makes that orbiter weigh roughly 6,000 pounds equivalency on the moon. And they're firing these fucking retro rockets the whole way down. And when you get, when you're talking about the moon too, it's not like it's a sand dune you're landing on. It's a hard surface. It's got some dust on it, but still, powdery, it's
yeah.
rock.
Yeah, but we talked earlier that whenever there's something that pushes that powdery surface away, it stays the way it is. So if you've got a propulsion rocket as this thing sitting, you know, sitting down, ready to make landing, and
you think those rockets fire the whole way as it's coming down.
But I think
that to slow the 6,000 pound whatever it's that's enough to cause a fucking disturbance.
There is a disturbance under there, but it's not huge.
Well, I'm just saying there's evidence.
Eric's now anti.
But I think the dust that flew up is exactly the way they can't simulate that in a you know if indeed Stanley Kubrick directed this whole thing. That can't be simulated in any kind of studio. So apparently
the opacity of the dust on the moon is the difference there. That's what a lot of people ask. So, like, why does the moon give you light, like a light source like the sun does?
It diffuses and reflects it from every direction, basically. Imagine it like a multifaceted, like a diamond, how it reflects light in every direction. Yeah. It's whenever you've got enough.
And that's why you got shadows and
right. Well, like a lot of
directions.
People were freaking out because whenever you see Armstrong coming down the lunar module, coming down the ladder on the opposite side of the sun, that the module's between him and the sun, and it wasn't Aldrin. Whoever was taking a picture of it would have been, who's the second guy?
Neil Armstrong, the most famous one.
It was Aldrin. Yeah. So as he's coming down the ladder, you can see him clear as day in the picture. Like, he's lit up just fine. But what's weird is you look at the shadows on the ground of the lunar module coming from the sun, and they're dark as hell shadows.
Right.
So the question is, how can we see...
Well,
tell
them what you conclude from that is multiple light sources is what you can conclude from different directional shadows.
A lot of people would say that there's multiple light sources, but what it is that, again, it's the diffusion of the light off the surface of the moon. It basically acts as a light source from the bottom in every direction. So say here's your surface of your moon. It's reflecting light off this way and off that way and off that way.
So kind of like how snow, when it's really snowing.
Exactly like snow.
That's bright as shit, you know what I mean?
Exactly like snow.
Right.
And how you could still have a shadow on snow. But still have very bright shit all around. It's the same difference, but a lot of people don't buy that.
Right.
I do. They also ask him why in those photos, how can you not see the stars in the background of those photos?
That's
another easy one, though. Think about when you take a photo of somebody on the beach or something, and there's something really light in the background that might get washed out. It's a question of exposure. A camera can only take in so much light. You'll have to have a lens in front of it to block out some of that light and make it dark enough to where the sensor or the film only takes in... You know, enough light to capture the object in the front.
Right.
So these things are so fucking
so it's
bright
focus,
up front.
Basically, it's focusing on there to and darkening.
It's how much exposure of light is allowed to get to the film. So if they have to dial that back, close the iris in so only a little bit of light gets in, you've just now taken all the light from the background out of the equation. You got such an intense foreground light and such a like not intense starlight from the ground, they don't get exposed.
Well, the same goes for these pictures they take from the ISS, you know, the sun's at an angle or whatever, they don't see stars.
You can't.
You know,
they're insignificant light sources.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's like take a
that's
flashlight.
Like lighting a lighter and then fucking
put a flashlight
pointing
at it.
Fucking 2 million lumen flashlight at it and then taking a picture and telling me that you can see the flame.
Right. Or take that fucking same flashlight and put lighters all around it and just point it at the camera. You might see a little haze or something or those lights or whatever, but you're not going to be able to you know,
the brighter lights drowning it out.
Because the white astronauts are pushing so much light off. The white lunar surface is reflecting so much light that you're not going to be able to see those things behind you.
So, I mean, what would you guys say is the most convincing argument that we didn't go then? Because I think all these scientists,
I don't think any of them are really convincing.
The crosshairs on the photos they talk about and that.
That's because they stitched photos together.
Yeah, and there's copies of photos and apparently washes out the white light.
Have you seen the picture of the rock that makes it look like it's a stage where it's got like
a
C?
Yeah, it's got like a prop number on it or a prop letter.
I didn't see that one.
So let me bring it up here. Prop.
While you're bringing that up, I want to just address that they aired this on national television, in 1969.
So the landing itself.
Everybody could sit there and watch and hear and listen to what the hell was going on. So, but my question is, why would you put that on national television? We've never been to the moon. We don't know if this is going to work. We don't know if these dudes are going to blow up or die, if they're going to get a space disease. We literally had no...
space AIDS.
We don't know. Like, why would you... I just don't think it was responsible of America to broadcast that on live television with the unknown factors that were at play there.
I think you're crazy. I mean, you sound like
if you're gonna
like
do
a fearmonger right there. Sounds like.
I mean, why
we
would you be...
don't know what's going to happen.
What I'm getting to is, why were they so confident to make this on live television when knowing that these two dudes could blow up or whatever at any second.
Why would they blow up? Why would they think that they would blow up? They're just coming down a ladder, landing. They're landing on the moon. You know what I mean? They might blow up. It's the same thing with the Challenger when it exploded, or you know, the Columbia whenever it blew.
Right.
Shit happens. It's science.
Okay. I think it's even more interesting that like Apollo 13.
I don't believe
they didn't televise it because they thought it would just be too boring and nobody wanted to see it. Remember that?
I did not.
Yeah.
If they were launching a manned mission to the moon.
They only put that on when something went wrong.
Tomorrow, I would make time to watch that little 10 minutes of them taking off, 5 minutes. If they were doing it tomorrow, a manned mission to the moon.
There's a really good video, too, that NVIDIA put out.
That is scary.
They went and modeled the entirety of, like, the famous photo of fucking Buzz Aldrin on the ladder coming down and all that. They went and modeled it completely from scratch and recreated all the light sources and are able to dynamically change shit so you can see where all the shadows are coming from. Why the stars aren't there, they actually show you
the
exposure.
They broke it down.
They completely break it down. Nice. It actually looks like you're looking at a photo of it, like that picture. And then they turn it in three dimensions. Like, this is not a fucking photo. This is a recreation.
So they've
really
got all
cool.
the, like the Forge. They've got all the...
Yeah, they tech demoed it and recreated the whole thing. It's pretty cool. So look on that for NVIDIA moon landing hoax.
Nice, nice.
Oh, here's that photo arm on it. It looks like a picture of a rock with a C on it.
So they see a C. Now, that would be a pretty amateurish mistake, don't you think?
That would be a pretty amateurish mistake. It could happen. I mean, if...
Sure. And there's that rock on Mars, supposedly, looks like a man's face. Have you seen that one? I mean, there's all...
So I had another...
But here's another picture of that same rock, and you'll see this a lot, with no C on it.
Oh.
So what the thought is, there was a... Whenever they went to develop this or...
picture C?
Yeah, the rock with a C on it. There was a hair on the film or something like that whenever they went
artifact.
To redevelop it. Yes, a little artifact. So,
okay. Again,
that could be it.
Sure.
Could be.
So, also, we got they filmed them actually touching down the module hitting
right.
the water. Okay. There wasn't any GPS back then, but Everett already busted it with radar. I'm like, how the fuck did they know exactly where to be when they're coming in at what, 10,000 miles an hour,
that's
hot enough to burn up? You know what I mean? Like, you don't got much time to plan.
Oh, you're talking about the splashdown.
Yeah. How did they know right where to fucking film at?
They probably knew before they even came back.
It's the math,
time of day.
Dude.
Well,
the math.
Well, no shit. That's what I'm saying.
That blows my fucking mind that people sit there and literally figured out.
Are you amazed that it happened? Or
no, I never took calculus. Yeah, no, I'm not amazed. I'm just, I think it's really cool that if it did happen, that they did all of that without a fucking computer that was what we're used to today.
Did you ever use a graphing,
T85.
Would know what sine and tangent and cosine all that was? Did you ever have that?
No.
So, okay, that stuff's pretty simple whenever you know the right math.
Right.
Again, it's all timing, knowing your speeds, and it's not exacts either. It's estimates of roughly in this window where shit'll be.
Okay, so estimate the percentage of the population that could plot the course to the moon with the type of accuracy required.
Back then?
Wait, it's not just that, though.
A lot,
it's probably. Leaving the Earth's atmosphere, resetting because you're doing orbits, and then jumping off to the moon, orbiting that, and then coming off at the exact same time. Wait. More than that, it's the lander hooking back up with the fucking, and then coming.
It's certainly a marvel that we did it, but you have to understand, I mean, this is after about 7 or 8 years and all these Gemini, this didn't just happen overnight.
Right. What's the percentage of the population can make a souffle and not have it fucking fall or whatever? You know what I mean?
Well, that's a fair point.
I'm not sure.
I guess that's a
fair.
I'm not sure
if the analogy is.
Well, yeah, it's not
it's
very
hard
fair.
To do,
but
it took a long time and a lot of resources.
A lot
and
of
a lot
training.
Of brain power. Right.
And that's what I asked him. I said, I wonder how long they fucking planned this for. Because if they did this shit in 6 months, this is equivalent to Armageddon.
Think about this.
Right.
They've been shooting up satellites into space for 10 plus years at this point. They got a pretty good idea of the ballistics for sending shit up and bringing it back down. So.
Right.
It's not like their first attempt was, let's go to the moon first try. We'll get the gotchas on the way.
And they did the hookup practice. Like, if you saw First Man, I mean, I
haven't watched First Man. I really want to. I have a copy of it. I just haven't yet.
It's a little boring.
What I thought was kind of cool is after the third stage went out and they separate the command module and the service module from the lunar module, it comes away, they separate, flips around, then the cone of the control module connects back up to the lunar module, then they take off together.
It does like a backward somersault.
Whenever they get there finally, ejects the engineering behind it.
It is. That's what we said. When they explained it, I was just like, wow,
yeah,
dude.
You marvel at
that. But at the same time, as an astronaut who's trained, most
completely
of these guys
possible.
Were Air Force
pilots
and the whatnot, right? Would you even still go, experimental planes are cool. They used to love doing the experimental planes, but that's a far cry from an experimental rocket hopping on top of it and going into space. At worst, you got crashed down on Earth. You're going to hit the ground. You're going to hit the water. In space, man.
You just skid away and
there's
off
no
into
safety.
Oblivion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we talked about that's that I think is the most outrageous thing that they got guys to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
These are.
What's the pitch that you got to tell these dudes? You know what I mean? Like, all right, we'll let you in the secret club. We'll give you millions of dollars. Like, all you got to do is go to the fucking movie.
Infamy, man. Go fame, infamy, immortality.
That's what I said. You're going to be a hero. They really had to sell this, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the, I mean.
You made a good point earlier with the dudes at Normandy at the beach.
Sure,
people lined right up to get to be.
Guys are challenging death all the time. You know, shields. They're heroes. Plus, you know, a lot of these test pilots. I mean, I don't know how many of the Germans they were. When they were doing the V1 rockets, they had pilots on the damn thing, and those guys all died uniformly, you know, just to test the damn thing. So,
no thanks.
I think it was what's her name, Hannah Reich was the first one to actually do it.
Condoleezza Rice,
Hannah Reich, got an Iron Cross for
Reich.
Reich.
But yeah, after all that I wrote down about the trajectories and the math and everything, I just wanted to note that this was like the most ambitious project I've ever like, because they didn't, like when they took this on, we're going to go to the moon. Like you said, it took 7 years to figure everything out. I didn't know that it took that long.
So you're saying you appreciate the balls?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it related to Armageddon. We've only got this much fucking time. We got what they did was insurmountable odds and they bested them. You know what I mean?
Well, that weighs against maybe we didn't do it. I mean, that's what a lot of people say. It was impossible. We
right.
couldn't have done it.
Well, let me ask you
that's
this.
Kinda,
what
I
do you think the odds
that
are that the first time Apollo 11 didn't actually go to the moon? Maybe one of the later Apollos did, but this
right.
first one could have been completely fake just to get it done.
Correct. I think that's Nick's contention.
Yeah, like
he
we
doesn't
had
totally discount that we went at all, but he thinks 11, not a chance.
But it was imperative that we win the space
right,
race.
Right.
With
timing.
I find that to be much more possible than it just didn't happen, but that's just me. What else we got here? Let's talk about Stanley Kubrick then.
Yeah, the Kubrick thing.
The best I could find out, like the best notion of his involvement wasn't that he directed it. It's that he was filming at the time 2001 A Space Odyssey over in London in MGM Studios. Donald Rumsfeld and Kissinger, you know.
The same Donald Rumsfeld that announced the $2.3 trillion missing the day before 9/11.
He's been in a lot of administrations.
I'm just saying. That's the same guy, though.
But they supposedly contacted
allegedly
Stanley Kubrick, and he thought the idea was kind of funny, but wasn't really into it.
He wasn't into it.
And they just said, all right, come on, just leave the studio doors open. Let us get in there and use your studio for the weekend, and we'll be out by Monday.
Yeah, tell him what the kicker was. Tell him what the kicker, allegedly.
So Kissinger plies old Kubrick with a little factoid that Dr. Strangelove is Nixon's favorite movie.
Oh, really?
So that was the icing on the cake. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really buy that, but
well, and apparently, didn't he drop a lot of? Now, this is Nick's contention. I've heard this for years from him that he dropped a lot of hints in The Shining or whatever other movies.
Yeah, like The Shining, for instance. Danny is wearing the Apollo 11 shirt. And it's got a rocket that says Apollo 11 on it. There's the room he went into, which in the book was originally room 218.
No, it's 237 because it was 237 miles.
Well, in the book,
miles.
It was originally 218, but the 237,000 to the moon, so he changed the room number to 237.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know, there's a lot of, like, you can get on YouTube and find these videos about people making all
Everett
these.
And I didn't really want to repeat a lot of them because there's the majority of them are like, that's a fucking stretch.
Well, it's like the number 23. 3 plus 3 is 6. 6 plus 6 is 12. Oh
12 is divided by 3
Illuminati.
You get 4 times. 2 times 2 is 4. Oh, my God. Yeah, like, you can go on forever with those sort of.
The numerology.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff.
Is it?
Yeah, right. Is it or is it?
No,
or are you just
sarcastic.
Making things up in your head with
this
stuff?
I'm being sarcastic.
It's like Mad Lib math.
It's actually funny how they twist things.
It's
a Sudoku. I'd love to hear Nick do it. I try to encourage him.
We got a buddy that does it too. I won't name his name right now,
He's
but it's
listening.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 means this, 2 box squared. And oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's great. I mean,
You got to love it.
Yeah, 23 chromosomes. And
yeah, so the
chromosome pairs.
The Stanley Kubrick thing. So a lot of people say that he filmed the moon landing in the studio in Area 51. So that's like something that I've heard.
Yeah,
obviously, don't fucking buy that.
Well, NASA actually had a recreated set for training of the moon. You know what I mean?
That's fact.
Well, that's
so
true. Yeah,
they could have filmed it there as well. But again, there's been no proof that it was done anywhere other than the moon.
Well, that just goes to, do you think, I mean, I think there's like, 400,000 people directly involved in this or at least peripherally involved?
Right. If this were a cover up, how many people would have to.
You think they could keep that a secret? Are you
fuck
kidding me?
No, dude.
In our government?
What is it? Jessica asked the real reason we haven't gone back.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a useless mission, and we need to know that's why. I agree. It is a useless mission, and we do know what we need to know about the moon. Why bother going back?
No harvestable resources.
I think we will go back, but I think it's going to be private. I think space is going to be a private.
It'd be a good jumping off point enterprise to, say, Mars or other. You know, it's a good place for a base, but we don't have a reason for that base yet. We're not going to Mars often enough. We're not trying to go out and farm these asteroids and get their materials and minerals off.
Well, it's not an active area that we need to put a base at right now. You know what I mean? Reason. So it's like...
Cost prohibitive.
But don't you think, I mean, I've gone over this over and over again. Like I said, I'm 55 years old. When I was a kid.
By the way, hello, Jessica. It's been a while.
Yeah, and my stocks are doing better, Jessica. Now I'm just poor, not broke. But when I was a kid in high school, and a Voyager, this is a little before you guys' time, I thought, well, passing Jupiter or whatever. And I thought, wow, by the time I'm 55, I'll probably be able to go to Jupiter. Boy, what a disappointment these guys have been.
Why would you want to go to Jupiter?
I'm just saying. I mean, 40 years later, you would think that we would have been going to new different planets.
Back to the future.
At least Mars.
Back to the future, man. 2015 was way different than it really was 3 years ago.
Did you see Back to the Future 2 where they went to the future?
30 years ahead of 1985. Are you fucking serious, Armand? You watch all these crazy old movies and you don't watch Back to the Future?
I'd rather watch James Cagney break out of the big house. Yeah. I don't care about that.
Each their own.
But I'm just saying, don't you guys... Well, I don't know. You guys aren't as old as I am. I thought 40 years from now, we're going to be on Mars. I mean, there's going to be some really cool shit.
Let's look at it this way. No, we didn't make it 40 years from like 76 or whatever. We didn't make it back to the moon or Mars or any other planets. But think about the shit we did get. We got the internet. We got reliable cellular phone or wireless phone technology.
We've talked about that technology curve. So like as it's getting better, say maybe 1969's here. We're here now. After so much time, though, it just gets to where it's the technology curve. I can't remember what we talked about.
What kind of propulsion are we going... Here's that pegging joke again. You guys are...
Anyway, Armand's going to Uranus. Somebody's coming to Armand's.
But what do you think about, I mean, propulsion? I don't think we're going a hell of a lot faster than we went back then, right?
I mean, there's only so fast.
It's still chemical explosion.
Ion propulsion, but still.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but that's not active and all use this yet, stuff, though,
right? Well, in atmosphere, you've got ramjet. But in space, you've got two different types of...
Ion propulsion's not in use, is it? I didn't think that's how the Voyagers... Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
The solar sail is supposed to be...
Yeah, but nobody's using that yet.
Or even nuclear, you know, the
nuclear propulsion where you basically blow it up against the plate on one side and it's fucking Newton's second law.
Right.
But even then, how fast is it going to go? I mean, even if we go...
You need the Albuquerque air drive, the warp drive.
Of the speed of light?
So they've actually, the best bet to get up to the closest speed of light, what they're going to do is do the space sails, but they're going to use a laser to propel them. So what they're going to do is put a bunch of these very small space sails out in orbit, or out past orbit any which way, and shine a fucking laser up there to hit these space sails that have a very small, like, telemetry, you know, sensor data package with it, and send it off. They think they can get up over above a quarter of the speed of light by using a laser just to fucking...
And how much payload? I mean, you can't put humans on it.
Grams. Like,
that's
small.
Fine. I mean, I'll go for that.
I don't understand that at all.
So imagine you, like, how something's on a parachute and falling down to Earth, right?
Okay.
Well, if you take a leaf blower and blow back up, it takes off like that. Imagine that in space, where you use a laser instead of a leaf blower to hit that fucking sail.
And is it the is it the light that's creating? I mean, or is it so? A solar sail
at this point picks up on like basically the solar wind. The particles.
I'm looking for an honest explanation.
The particles coming off the sun, the photons, any type of particles that come off the sun, hit this foil, basically a foil,
right,
set up as a sail, and give it over time nudges. Since you don't lose speed in space because there's nothing pushing back,
right,
every one of these little particles catches up or, you know, pushes you a little bit faster. Same thing with an ion engine.
And it goes a quarter of the speed of light?
They think they can get it going up to the quarter of the speed of light using a laser to fucking...
So the photon smashing into the foil sail is what's giving this extra thrust.
Right.
What can we do with that? Can we send a sensor or something?
That's basically what they're going to send is like telemetry packages, sensor packages and whatnot.
Okay, well... Quarter of the speed of light. Now you're talking. Now we're going to get somewhere.
You can get places at that. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the newest thing I've read about. Well, it's not Jupiter. I think they're heading for like Alpha Centauri.
Well, that's still going to take.
Well, it's 4 year light, four light years away.
15 years.
Well, 20 years probably, but
yeah,
you know, speed up time and all that. But
and that's at a quarter of the speed of light, providing that some human or even our equipment can withstand that sort of fucking G force. Like, do we know if that's going to be a possibility?
They would design it to stand that. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're not going to like, let's make this out of Tupperware and add our laser sail and send it and see if it goes.
Well, sure, I know.
Small thing. I mean, and they always talk about, and I think with the moon landing, they talk about these guys getting hit by micro asteroids and shit. But the odds of that are astronomically against.
Well, especially out in interstellar space.
Right, that's what
I'm saying. Once you get in interstellar, there's not a lot out there. Going around the Earth, it's a lot more common with all the space debris we've put up there.
Yeah, we put up there.
Like even, you know, remember what was it, Empire Strikes Back, where they're going through the asteroid field? Those asteroids are so far apart. Thousands of thousands of kilometers.
They say you could that you can head off towards the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, or and just any direction, and the chances of actually hitting an asteroid are fucking slim to none.
They're far apart. They're far apart. I mean, when you see
they're dense for the area, for space,
right? They're
thousands relatively of kilometers apart. But it makes for better cinema if they're
of course
you got to dodge. And it was a good video game too.
Let me ask you this: do you guys support
Asteroids?
Oh,
it was kind of
before
fun.
Your time.
You
spin around in the middle.
I played Asteroids. Dude. I played Asteroids. You think we didn't have an Atari 2700 or 2600 when we were fucking kids? Of course, I played Asteroids, Space Invaders, Frogger, the whole night.
You have to pay a quarter for it.
Was it Bomberman? No. What's the one with the little
Kaboom?
Defender.
Kaboom. There it is.
Defender.
Defender.
Yeah. Anywho, do you think it's worth going back for any reason? Like right now, just for a scientific purpose?
For what do we have to learn? What do we have to gain? And what do we need to do? Like if we're just going back to shut people up that think we didn't go there, fuck you, man. Keep those interesting videos coming. And believe what you want. But if there's some real reason, like if we figure out there's a mineable resource or if we need to control that area because of a conflict, whatever, once there becomes a reason, then
give me the reason and then we'll tell you if it's
exactly coming. But as of right now, I couldn't see a reason that we would need to. What are we so overpopulated on Earth that we have to send people there? No.
Let me ask you, what's the difference between that and Mars?
Mars is
The reward is much better in Mars. I agree,
because you can sustain sustain a population on Mars.
For what you can do on Mars, you can do on the Moon. What's the difference?
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I don't think so.
There's a slight atmosphere on Mars.
Yeah, and
there's
water on the Moon.
You're six times lighter.
Water on Mars.
You're six times lighter on the Moon because it's 1/6 of
the
Earth's atmosphere.
Roughly
I would say that your gravity on Mars is a little bit more like Earth.
That doesn't matter.
The adjustment phase. It'd be easier to inhabit than it would be on the Moon.
Do you think that's
right? Your transition would be easier.
Do you think NASA gives two shits about that?
I don't think. Well, I was just going to say, I don't think NASA's going to. The future of space exploration and that sort of thing is private.
You think
Elon Musk is going to do it before NASA
and all that.
All the major, renovations revolutionary things that have happened, I think, are more now SpaceX, etc. What has NASA done? They don't even. All they do is study climate change.
Well, I'm going to get political. We're too busy throwing money at a wall. Just saying.
What does NASA do? The Webb telescope, I'm all for that. But other than that.
Frank Reynolds makes a great point in the chat. He says, start spreading rumors that there's oil on the Moon and we'll be there. You know what I mean?
We'll go to Titan for that.
The Moon needs some fucking freedom, bud. We'll go liberate it. Install a dictatorship.
That's right.
That's
profitable. Yeah. And that's the next thing, though. It's going to be this space tourism. And once you get that going and it's safe. People are going to try to go to the Moon for $1 million, and then you're going to get people to do that.
It's iterative. Like, for now, we'll start out with low Earth orbit, and then we'll go to the Moon, and then it's Mars.
What's your time frame for this?
When do you think we'll have that?
Will I see it?
When will we be able to get on a shuttle and go to the Moon with barely a week or two notice?
Not in our lifetimes.
You don't think so?
No.
Wow. I do not think so.
Wow. That's
There's no reason
not
for anybody.
40 years?
Tell me what company at this point could make any money back on something like that in any short time.
They're already doing it. Aren't they booking
the
first two private people, they're not giving their names away, but have already paid the money
for the first
private space flight.
And that's what, 62, I think it's 62 and a half miles. 100 kilometers is considered space.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going
out
that far, right?
That's, yeah.
Okay.
If you could drive your car up, straight up, how long would it take you to get to the atmosphere?
At what speed?
Fucking 65.
Highway speeds, an hour.
An hour. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not that far.
I know, but it seems like it's not that far.
Oh,
an hour to drive in a car is a long fucking way in a straight line, I feel like, from like just... So if you're going up,
it'll take 10 miles and you're pretty much dark.
The clouds don't look...
Well, I think escape velocity is, 25,000 miles per hour or something?
17,000.
To escape the atmosphere?
Maybe it's kilometers, I was thinking that.
It could be.
Yeah.
So what happens if you aren't going that fast and you're still going straight up? What happens? Like, what if you can't escape...
You only have so much thrust to get up, you'll just hit equilibrium and be like... floating. You know what I mean?
Run out of fuel and come back down.
That's right. It's like how, if you're on Earth or, you're just hovering, with a Harrier jet... Until you give it extra juice, you're sitting in one spot due to how thick the atmosphere is and how much thrust you're putting down. You know, you got to overcome gravity. You got to overcome how much
thrust to weight ratio is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, lift and thrust has to be greater than drag and
gravity. basically.
Yeah, or low.
Well, drag is grav. Gravity is drag, right?
Right.
No, drag is like turbulent friction.
Air.
The friction of air.
Right.
Oh, mass okay, right is on. Your. You know, that's right. What you're. But I think when they put things in orbit, though, they eventually they get the angle so much that you're just basically in a constant free fall. It's a different angle.
Right.
But anyway, so you think it's going to take that long though to get?
I think so. I don't see. I think we could do it quicker. But I don't see any reason any company anytime soon is going to put the money it's going to take to do that. Low Earth orbit, sure.
Once it gets to be profitable, and I think that's coming, because when you can reuse these, when you can reuse
these
space.
You know what it costs right now to put a pound of shit in space, according to NASA, and this is probably a little, it cost them $10,000 to put a kilogram
of matter. That's going down.
I'm sure it's going down.
When you can reuse and that's why these guys that are private industry got the right idea. Reuse the damn thing. Don't splash down and destroy it.
Yeah. Right.
That's, once they get that.
You get something like a space elevator built, now we're talking, making it a lot easier. You know what space elevator is, right?
An elevator with a cable and the whole thing.
Yeah, it's
right?
Basically a cable right up in space. It's so far out that it's swinging at such a speed that it's got the tension to keep it up there, and you just run cars up and down.
Have you ever seen a map of an interactive map of all of this space debris that's being tracked by NASA constantly? Have you ever seen that?
No, I'm sure it's
pull that up
out
real quick
there.
For Armand. And when I look at this, all I can think is, aliens are going to come here and go, we can't fucking make contact with these people. There's no way we're going to survive that, first off. And then number two, the future generations of Earth are going to go, what fucking assholes littered like this? You know what I mean? It'll be equivalent to throwing your soda can on the ground, you know, in front of.
It ain't that bad, dude. Again, it's the same thing. It's
are you looking at that?
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture, but these images here, it's not the scale.
It's not the scale. Yeah,
if you had those, if those specs were that size, you're talking, those are each the size of a city.
How fast are they going?
Doesn't
they can
matter.
Do 25,000. Enough destructive damage for a fucking piece this big.
The distance between them is
didn't they eject the whole fucking bottom three stages of the rockets off? And you're telling me they're that small?
What are you trying to say?
My point is that there's so much shit floating around the fucking Earth at all time, just everywhere. You got satellites. You got all this space trash.
Yeah.
How the fuck are aliens going to get down here and talk to us
with
the fucking dangerous course they got to plot?
That picture I just showed you, that's not to scale. They're not that dense. They're not that close. Even if they get hit like by a piece
of... You been to space?
Oh, God damn it. Here we go
again.
Are there
aliens? Come on.
Fuck.
I don't know about that point. Who cares
what
it's
the exactly
aliens
what we were talking
about our trash.
The asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. You know what I mean? There's a lot of them there.
Right.
But not that many. They're not that big.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. You'll go.
So you'd never hit one.
No, they hit the shuttle and shit all the time, but they don't do the destruction you think it does. Yeah.
A piece of metal, a 2-ounce piece of metal going at fucking 20,000 miles an hour wouldn't
let me ask
fucking
you this.
Drive through
speed
something.
Speed in space is relative. So if you're going 17,000 mile an hour, and here comes another thing going 17,000 mile an hour, and it just kind of bounces off of you, you know, you're all going in the same fucking rotation here.
So you're saying everything around the Earth goes in the same exact rotation?
No.
It's all going clockwise or some shit,
well,
right?
Yes. Like is that what you're saying?
No, that's what I'm asking.
Well, that's what I'm asking you,
know.
Though. The aliens aside,
yeah, they have shields anyway.
Is it a hazard to our space program?
I would think,
that's
right? Eventually, like, if there's going
sure
to be, when's it going to be?
Count. I don't know. I wouldn't think it's that big of a deal.
They're tracking over, 10,000 objects or something they have to track because they're dangerous enough to cause damage.
I think what's much more dangerous would be these little micro meteorites and everything flying around at, you know, whatever. Right. And that's what they're worried about, especially going to Mars. I mean, those things, that can really screw things up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the space debris is another one of those. Yeah, again, it's a problem, but it's another one of those things people latch onto. Like, you're like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? It's one of those.
Some asshole with the math skills is going to plot the course to get right through.
This isn't the Kessel Run.
Everything.
Yeah, Kessel.
It might be.
You know what I mean? We're not going between black holes here.
Han Solo could do it.
Could he?
Yeah, he could get from Earth to the moon.
All right.
I think that is true, though. I mean, isn't that? I mean, assuming you're going the speed of, well, anyway, your mass messes you up and everything. There's all kinds of problems when you get up. Like 0.9 of speed.
Oh, relativistic
light.
Speeds?
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird problems.
So that's, speed. I guess, at the point. Are we ever going to get that? Are we ever going to get to the nearest star or anything? Ever?
Hard to say. I mean, not doing it in physical space. We'd have to figure out the trick to bending space or going into like a hyperspace.
That's a question for Armand, Jeffrey.
Yeah, there's no such thing as global warming.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Tough crowd.
That's an interesting question, though.
You see much snow this winter?
Not much. Not here.
No.
Have you checked the Arctic ice sheet?
Used to snow all the time, didn't it?
It's horribly small.
Are you kidding me?
Just ask NASA.
Just ask Al Gore.
There you go.
All right.
All right, you guys got anything else?
No.
Well, I mean, okay.
What do you got?
Was it worth it, I guess? Or
was it worth going to the moon?
Was it worth it?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
What did we get out of it that was worth it? Just
well, I don't know what it cost to go to the moon, so I don't know what it was worth.
I guess the first question is, did we go? And that's what the whole.
No, I think you should start it out and preface it with, if we went to the moon, would the cost be worth it? I don't know what it cost. So how would I know if it was worth it or not?
He's asking, did we go?
Yeah, did we go first? Or is this all a big ruse?
I don't know. I have no idea if we went. I wasn't there. I wasn't even alive.
I think we
your
went.
Opinion.
My opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not enough. I don't know, man. Because there's good points on both sides, and I don't want to commit to either.
So what point has convinced you we didn't, though? What's the most salient?
That convinced me we didn't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What makes you actually think that's even a possibility?
Just like the crazy insurmountable odds of everything that had to be completely perfect, and just everything seemed to go. And even though
we had the technological capability to do it.
Yeah, it was like whatever it said. It was with a calculator. They went to the moon with a fucking calculator, dude.
I mean, they had real computers, but they.
But they were
processing computing power of a fucking calculator, right?
What do you need with the right programs? Tell me this.
I don't know.
It's not like you're playing Doom.
Why don't we ask our listeners? Everybody listen.
Yeah, what do you guys think, man? You guys think that we went?
Yes or no?
You can do these calculations on paper. You know what I'm saying?
I can't.
They can be. Let me rephrase. They can be done on paper.
I think they can. Slide rules, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, it's just simple trigonometry and whatnot. So if you can do it on paper, you don't need a super complex piece of, several transistors to do this calculations for you. It's not that crazy to think they could do it.
Well, I see. I can't change your mind, and you're not going to change mine. I'm an American, and I don't have to change mine.
I think it's astounding, but I don't think it's as impossible as you seem to think it is. I mean, I've taken some pretty high level.
I'm not donkey brained, but I'm not
bright. But I can figure out some, pretty basic.
So
ballistics.
I'm not donkey brained, but I'm not the smartest dude in the world.
Would you
so
stop with the fucking pop culture things. Nobody gets it. Armand don't get it. It annoys me.
People
donkey
get
brained.
It.
Fuck, yeah. You are donkey brained.
You're donkey brained.
Oh,
but
fuck.
What'd you say?
You're a donkey fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Somebody got mad.
I just don't like your
somebody
your line
got
of
mad.
Well, we're trying to have the end of the show discussion here, and you can't do nothing but continue to pump out
memes. Because I just told you. He asked me if I thought the moon landing happened. I said, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't have enough evidence either way.
But then you start throwing out all
conflicted.
These memes. That's what's annoying.
Conflicted.
You're trying to do all these fucking stupid Always Sunny quotes.
Well, he asked me what was the most evidence.
Is that what that's
the evidence.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Nobody knows but him.
It doesn't matter if you guys get it. I got it.
Okay. No, but you. But yeah. So you're saying you're like 50-50 that we went?
I don't know because there's not been enough evidence to sway me either way on the subject. I will admit the possibility that we didn't go is completely there, and the possibility that we went is completely there.
Because the odds against it were so great because of our abilities at that time,
and when you
our
start,
technological abilities.
Exactly. When you start throwing out theories like we did get to the moon, but we couldn't do it then, it's like, man, that sounds fucking plausible.
Do you think we're capable
of it
now? If we wanted to go, could we? Do we have the capability?
I mean, I want to think, yeah, of course. I assume that. Well, fuck, man, look at the technology we've got now. We fucking better be able to get to the moon now. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have anything available to us at the time that, like...
But it seems like, to you, the most daunting thing would be the figures, the math itself, and the logistics.
Yeah.
I'm not sure...
Well, he has trouble with multiplication, so...
Like, somebody's still mad.
Boy.
But I'm just saying, though, like...
That's an ad hominem. Logical
I think it's a sign of a good person where you can admit where their shortcomings are, and mine is in that sort of math.
Close.
Okay.
Also, you can have
I admit that it can be
stuff.
Done, but it's hard for me to look at that and know that the like.
Yeah, but to me, something much more fantastic would be a guy like Albert Einstein sitting around and thinking, "Hey, wait a minute, what if I were a beam of light?" And figuring out
totally agree.
Universal laws of gravitation and shit from sitting in a chair and just doing it in his head.
Yeah, no, that's amazing too.
Right, exactly. That to me is more amazing to say, well, we got to get this far and go this fast, and here's the angle of approach, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's pretty simple shit if you ask me. It's
well,
ballistics.
Not simple, but I think brilliant minds could do that. They could.
No, I totally think they can too. I just say that looking at it from my perspective, like as someone that can't do that sort of math and wouldn't know how to calculate those
sort of
equations.
Foreign to me too, and I've had a lot of math.
And looking at it going like, obviously when you look at something you don't understand, it's kind of like, wow,
dude,
it's
that's magic, right? Is
well,
that what
it's
Arthur C. Clarke says?
Yeah, but I'm not even calling it magic. I'm just saying that to me, it's like, wow, that looks super hard. I mean,
but that to me invites the question, doesn't beg the question because that's not important. That's not the way it should be used.
Okay.
Invites the question, why the hell haven't we done more stuff? I mean, these guys did something almost miraculous. How come we haven't done anything miraculous lately?
I think we covered it, though, because when they did that, it was damn near a suicide mission, in my opinion.
We had a reason to do it before, it's because the commies were doing it.
Right. Is the juice worth the squeeze is the question. Like, what are we getting out of going back there? You know what I mean? Like, is it worth going back to spend the money, the research,
everything
that we've got to do?
I say leave it. I say get rid of NASA anyway, or you know, let the private industry do whatever.
Well, NASA can't hold any patents, right? And I think they're responsible for coming up with like a bunch of shit that they didn't have before we had the space program.
True,
because they invented things that we needed. You
right,
know what
but
I
that's
mean?
Always the question is, what if we have done that anyway in private industry? I mean, look at all the computerization. Wozniak and you know Jobs, they didn't need NASA to do it, mm-hmm. you know. That, now
oh,
we're
no,
back
that's
to
fair.
Our socialist argument again.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I say keep the government out of all that stuff. But, I mean, all right, will we get to Mars then? In our or do we already say that? You're not in our lifetime. Huh?
Didn't
Musk say he's sending somebody in 2021?
We might make it, but we're not colonizing it. And I don't think we're going to get to the point where space tourism is a thing in our lifetime. That's what I mean. You're never going to the moon. You're never going to Mars personally.
Will we have to terraform the
We are too poor. We're never going either.
That's true.
So
would we have to terraform the atmosphere at Mars? Like, you can't breathe that fucking air, right? Like,
well,
there's
no,
not, it's not.
You can't terraform. We don't have the technology even close to think about terraforming.
Right, but that would be a requirement to live outside versus living
well,
in a fucking box,
you can't
right?
live outside on Mars.
Okay, that's what I'm
But it's not just atmosphere.
Suits, et cetera.
Mars doesn't have a spinning core like we have. It doesn't have a metal core, so it's not making an electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
So all the radiation from space is still going to be pounding you. So not only do you got to have atmosphere to breathe, you got to have some sort of electromagnetic
right.
field to keep you from getting cancer, because that's a big deal. Not a lot of chemo on Mars.
Yeah, but
well,
there's no food. But there's no
that's
food, so you could fast.
That's
yeah,
right. You could live a long time.
Did you see The Martian with Matt
yeah.
Damon? I'm sure you
probably a lot of mistakes in that movie. A
little bit.
There.
I heard it was scientifically inaccurate.
Yeah, that's
but a little.
It was still interesting to watch just for the you know the fantasy of going there and how a person could possibly try to survive if they were left there on accident or by whatever circumstances.
So you think your kids are going to get to the moon?
It's possible.
You remember that?
I don't see why a person would even want to go into space as a thing to do. Like fun, something fun. How is that fun? What are you doing?
Well, like in Interstellar, I don't know why this made me think of it. It's not super on the topic there, the point that you guys are making. But remember when that guy, I think it was actually Matt Damon, fudged his data so that they would come get him? Because they went to separate planets. Who was the guy that...
Interstellar was Matthew McConaughey.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about when they went down to that planet and she found that guy that had originally went to this planet to see what it was like. He fudged his data so they would come back to investigate this good planet for Earth to move to. I don't remember who that guy was, though.
I don't recall that at all.
I thought it was Matt Damon.
I don't know.
Oh, Matt Damon was on. It was in there. Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, he was that captain that ended up crying that fucked him.
I'm going to have to rewatch that now. I don't recall. He may be right.
Did you guys, I assume you guys did an Area 51 show.
Several times.
What do you think about that? What was the conclusion you reached on that?
Is Area 51 real? Is that the question?
Is there an actual alien or something?
Oh.
Do they have... Because isn't that one of the arguments that they found this stuff and that's
Roswell
what helped us get to the moon?
They the reverse engineered alien.
Right, we never would have done it on our own.
Seen the movie Independence Day, every bit of technology we've had since the 40s has come from reverse engineered alien technology.
Right. Well, do you put any stock in that theory?
No.
I don't know.
I'm asking
you. I don't think so, but you never know. But I don't think so. Because I think that's just like secret military technology. It's where they developed like the Blackbird, which is the radar invisible plane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they developed that there and... Most stuff that they don't want anyone else knowing about is developed there. You know what I mean? So that's why you can't like go within miles of the fucking base. They have those like crazy flying shit at night. You know, where they testing these planes? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. Maybe if we got an alien there, they ain't gonna fucking tell us anyway.
So if we had if somebody came up with a say Trump or the next president or whatever said, listen, I'm gonna be like Kennedy, and by the end of this decade, I want to put people on Mars.
Okay.
I don't care what it costs, and I you know, whatever. This we got to do it. Would you be for that?
If I was convinced of some impending doom, or that it was a requirement for our species to survive, I would totally
that
be
like
for
same,
it.
The same
like
thing
that.
Is
just to do
we
it.
We have to
because,
have
not because
a
it's
wall.
Easy, but because it's hard. Well, that's what Kennedy said. We're doing, you know. I'm just saying.
We just talked about like the risk and the reward. What's the what are we gaining by doing this and sending people to Mars to die?
Well,
I mean, I don't understand. Are we trying to preserve our population to
no
multi
what do we gain by any expert what do we gain by putting the Hubble out there? What is gained from that except
we
knowledge.
Learned a
it's
total
knowledge.
Yeah well okay so
well,
we're just
we
learning
want,
shit
we
then
send people to Mars to see okay if but, they can survive and if it's a viable you know something
see that's
know?
The thing about it you know we could build it's a matter of money you know we could get to Mars right we could
yeah throw totally could.
You guys are sure we could do that?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Easily.
I couldn't.
I don't know about
you
that.
You throw
like
100.
I mean, right. Yeah, not you. Right.
Answer me this. You throw $100 billion at any project, it's getting done.
It's getting done.
So one way or another, if it's just money, yes, we can get there. can we build something that could sustain humans on Mars? Easily. I just think it's a matter of
money. So you think
money.
We could?
At this point, yes. It's how much money it costs now versus how much we cost in 50 years
so
from
we
now.
Could, but we're not going to.
No, right? Hell no.
So
Republicans are going to go, you could buy 20 walls with that $100 billion. What are you doing?
Let me ask you this. Why is it any better to send a man or a woman or human to Mars than it is another probe? What is the difference to you?
I don't know. The probe doesn't have like a live system. Like we won't get effects on a human.
Well, what good is a human? A human doesn't have near the sensor capabilities that a probe has. You can just walk around and look. You're not going out with the ability to scoop fucking dirt up, blow on it, you know what I mean, and look at what's in there, do any kind of chemical analysis. Basically, you're going there to collect samples to take back to your laboratory that your roving laboratory could be doing already for you.
Okay, so isn't there something that happens to your bones when you're in space for a long time?
Yeah, sure, we could figure out anatomy differences and shit.
I wonder if we knew about that just from reading sensor data before somebody come back with the issue.
All right, so I guess the point we're making is it inevitable that man eventually is going to go into space and colonize another planet?
If we want to, if humanity wants to survive,
we have to be a multi-planet species.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's not going to help. We're all done. What do you think?
Out of the solar system, right?
Okay,
so, but
right.
If you want to get out of the solar system, you got to crawl before you walk.
All right, so then you do think it's worth it, then, right?
If your goal is to get out of the solar system. Yes, you have to get inside the solar system first. Right.
That to me,
sense.
Implies that you think it's worth it.
Yeah, but again, we're going under the premise here that they're going to tell us exactly why we're doing it. You know, we're talking about, like, mostly government, but if you're doing it privately and somebody's got a good agenda, I don't know, I could get behind it. I totally can be convinced.
I would say that it's more likely in the billions of years before the sun goes, expands into a red giant.
Right.
But we're going to hit by an asteroid.
It's more likely
that
we come up with matter teleportation than it is we come up with a way to physically traverse space. In those distances, in that amount of time,
either that,
why
or
bother
some
physically
kind of interdimensional
traversing?
Kind of travel,
exactly. Some sort of non-physical travel is way more likely than figuring out we've got a fucking spaceship that flies places now. Why bother with that? That just seems
crazy.
Well,
when you make that point, I think I would rather go for that. You put all your resources into some kind of propulsion
or interdimensional travel, or some sort of
I think
actual physical propulsion is the worst way to go about it, because you've got all the time involved. Then you've got like subluminal problems like time dilation. So if you're going at 0.9% of the speed of light, like you're
experiencing... I think it's still only, half or whatever, 0.9? Well, it's not dilating that much.
It's a crazy fucking curve.
No, then it's like 10,000 years for every year.
Time dilation's a crazy fucking thing, too. Like,
but you've got to get really close before it makes a big difference.
Right.
Like I think even like if you go half the speed of light, it's only a few, maybe not much.
So that's like Everett's issue here.
Nobody said I had a fucking issue.
I just said you had a fucking issue. So Everett's issue is he fails to see what other people can't understand. So like me, like that time dilation.
How
thing,
is that my issue?
If
you
I get
can't
it
understand something
because you're intolerant about it.
I'm not intolerant.
So me telling
you
that I don't
questions.
Get that math and saying that that's like to me looking at that trajectories and stuff is a hard thing to accomplish, and you're over here going, well, no, what if I can? And I'm just like, look. It
hard
might not
you.
Be for you, right. So that's what I'm getting at here.
Well, I mean, to look at something from only your own point of view, I mean...
That's what you do.
It was a tremendous undertaking. I think we all agree on that. And maybe if you told me, in 1960, if we were sat here and said, what are the odds that we get to the moon by...
In 10 years.
I probably would have bet against it. Probably would give me odds against it.
Yeah.
But, they said we could never fly, too, and the Wright brothers... With 1903, for God's sake, did it.
Right.
So
let's look at it like
this,
too.
We've done a lot of things that are pretty technologically astounding.
All of the problems we've had where we've lost people in these manned space flights weren't over a trajectory. You know what I mean? They weren't over some fuck up in math or this or that. It's because a heat fucking tile blew off or some little gizmo malfunction.
Caught fire, Apollo 1,
right.
Stupid
so
little shit.
The easiest part of all of this, I think, is the math involved. You know what I mean? It's building something to tolerance and making sure some asshole wasn't sleeping on the job that day and forgot to screw down a screw, I think, is the biggest problems we're going to have.
Wouldn't you agree, though, Eric, if 20 years ago, if you would have said, I've got this, and what we can do with this.
That's a fair point, Armand.
I would have told you, you're out of your fucking mind.
Right. That's
I
a
never
would
have thought
well,
that.
Well, how can we, you were just saying, we build something to know that it can withstand this. So, getting that exponential in force to go a quarter of the speed of light, we can't make anything go like that. In order to test what a fucking metal, big metal thing will do at a quarter of the speed of light, right?
You,
so we have
start
to
start out at 0.01.
But I'm saying getting to the moon,
02.
That's hard to do, but we did it. But boy, getting to the next planet or getting out of the damn solar system, even though I guess I was fatuous enough to believe we could when I was a kid, I guess that's
Voyager
those
just
are insurmountable. Well, I mean, you're taking people, though.
Yeah.
That is an insurmountable
right.
obstacles. They're just too great. The damn distances are too damn far.
Yeah, you can't pack along enough food or even a way right. to make food.
And all the radiation, all these other things we're talking about that add up. And it's,
I mean, again, I think
Mars,
we could.
It's almost
I think we could,
impossible.
Honestly.
A lot of these movies.
It's just money.
With
to
Colin,
Mars, we think, you think.
I think we can make it to the edge of the solar system. We could build a capsule.
With man?
With man. Again, right. it's going to cost a lot of money that you could. That's basically a life ship. That you can get out there, have your hydroponic bays, grow yep. your own food, and live long enough out in space. All
going,
you're basically
rotating
doing,
for regular gravity.
All you're basically
maybe.
Doing is making a space RV. You know what yeah, I mean? All yeah. you got to do is get it into space, and you're good to go.
Water
you can
filtration.
Come up with ways to keep the radiation out. It's a cost of money. You know what I mean? And what you're getting out of it.
That makes good sense what you said, though. $100 billion in any fucking project will get it done.
Yeah,
I bet
I
if you put $100 billion
this.
To get humans to the outer edge of the solar
and it
system,
might take
40 it would
years
fucking done.
Of current technology,
I want you guys to think about this. $100 billion is wasted by Medicare every year.
Agreed.
Total, just waste.
Yep.
You know, doctors mm-hmm. screwing Medicare.
Right.
So it's, you know, I wish we, you know.
How much you get out of that?
Not enough. And I lost it all in the market.
Here's but, NASA's budget
so
for justice. 2019 is $20
billion.
$20 billion.
The entirety of NASA.
Right.
Entirety of NASA.
But I think, you know, I don't see why we couldn't have a Manhattan Project. To do whatever. I mean, figure out what you want to do. Now, I would
so
say
Manhattan
cure
Project
cancer,
had a goal.
For God's sake. That's what I put $100 billion in that. I don't care how much you put into it. Cure cancer or aging even.
You could do that. I think you could.
I wish we could, but we yeah. don't.
Well, again.
Look at how much money we blow.
Well,
four and
there's more money.
Bucks.
For something like cure cancer, there's only really, from a scientific point of view, to fund that, a company has to have a return. And there's more of a return on treating cancer.
I'm talking
cancer.
About the government doing it, though.
Well, government.
Like
well,
the Manhattan
they,
Project.
They get fucking, again, the Manhattan Project had a really good goal, though. Win the war, create the bomb, win the war.
Yeah, but that's pretty daunting back then in 1942.
Daunting,
to think
but
that
there's
we
a goal.
We could make a nuclear weapon and make it work.
Oh, yeah. Well, it got my mind blue when we first
totally
learned out
impossible.
How those work.
But if so. We were
Einstein
in,
thought it was impossible.
Let me
so,
say
yeah,
this. If we were in a war with Russia right now or whoever, some axis of powers, and we knew that the answer was on the moon to get there. The trick we needed was on the moon to get there. Like maybe that's where we had to go to build our weapon to take them out. As long as we have the goal, we'll throw money at it till we get it.
Yeah,
but
oh,
if,
yeah.
if there's
yeah.
not a goal that going to the moon
what's
or
the
Mars
goal
satisfies.
Of, somebody's bringing up CERN. What's the goal of CERN?
To figure
the
out the fundamental bug,
right.
fundamental
what holds
of
reality
physics.
Together.
Right.
And so what happens when we do that?
Well
then
who
we
cares,
know.
Right?
Without figuring that shit
yeah,
out, we can't do those. You know, extra dimensional portals and stuff we were talking about. You got to have an understanding of that.
Got to crawl before you walk, Armand.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that, okay, but taking that, and I don't know how much that costs, but I'm sure it's a significant
fuck
amount.
Ton.
A lot.
Okay? Wouldn't you rather put it into anti-aging research or just, like I said.
Well, yes. So I don't know if that anti-aging thing is even possible because
well,
your cells have like a half-life, right? Don't they split? And they can only split
you
so many times. And
with
that's
money,
what,
well,
anything's
the telomeres,
possible.
Though. The telomeres.
Exactly.
Are
the end caps of DNA, they wear off over time, and your DNA basically at that point can no longer replicate.
I okay. guarantee you, you brought up $100 billion. I'd say if you put $100 billion into an anti-aging campaign, or even $2 trillion. Why not?
Why not?
The budget's $4 trillion.
What are
put
we doing
a quarter of our GDP, instead of bullshit and throwing it away, which we do, put it into science. I mean, all science.
Why not? In a fraction of the time.
We never would do it because yeah. people would be asking why. You know,
But you don't even agree with science, though, right? You're against all the science behind climate change, right?
I think, yeah, but that's not science.
But
that's
they put
bullshit.
$1 trillion into climate change science.
They do. They do.
See Armand lose his fucking mind.
They do. Annually, about $1 trillion when you're talking about all these carbon credits and all the, you know, like Tesla gets, you know, all
oh,
these
right, right.
tax credits. Yeah, $1 trillion. That's why I hate it. Because if we put it into anti-cancer, we could actually save human beings' lives.
Yeah, fair enough.
Look what we do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Byron.
Or figure out how to stop
Byron
people from
cool.
getting cancer.
At the end
yeah.
of the day, it's
instead
it's,
of curing
yeah.
it.
I would say a lot of it is personal interest that drives this sort of shit. Is like Elon Musk's interest in space. You know, he finds that really interesting. And above and beyond the money, that's the type of thing you need a person who has that
dreamer.
Kind of drive, a dreamer to do that sort of shit. But for the most part, if I was on Elon Musk's board and he says, I want to go to space because I want to go to space,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're fired. I don't care if you started this company or not.
Damn right, Chris. That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you can't just do shit to do shit.
Well, the question is, though, where are our priorities? And I you brought up climate change. To do all these studies on climate change and have absolutely nothing come out of it except, okay, I'll grant you, we have climate change. We're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
China is building a new coal-fired plant every 8 days. So what the hell's the difference? Okay, it exists. It's going to kill us all. Okay, get rid of it. Stop spending money on it and start spending money on what we're talking about. Our priorities are all screwed up. That's the problem with government getting involved in anything, because they want to buy votes. They don't give a shit about
it. We need a one-world government that can regulate all pollution over the cross.
That's what I was just going to say. Well, you're not wrong.
Because we need somebody to stop China. We can't control what they do.
It's not about stopping anybody. If you want to
get what I'm saying.
What about Africa and India?
Well, if you want to get anywhere beyond the planet, you got to stop thinking about us as a separate entities on this planet. We're planet Earth. Let's, as a planet, put all of our money towards getting to Mars.
Well, you're talking about money, right, but I think that's a waste too.
Money,
I think
that's
a waste
time.
Too. I think most of our people that are listening would probably say, "If we're going to spend $100 billion, $200 billion, whatever, I would figure. I think I'd rather have it on something that's going to affect us, our health."
I agree. Honestly, if you're going to do it like that and put everything towards problems, like let's put everything we've got towards a certain problem, wipe it out. Let's do hunger first. You know what I mean? Let's get everybody on the planet comfortable. If we're spending all of our money in these weird ways, then we start figuring out health and aging, anti-aging, and then once we've got a healthy fucking immortal population, now let's start thinking about what we can do with our immortality. That'd be my thought.
Well, I think most of the hunger in this world is not because we don't have enough food. It's because
it's
petty
people lose money. Yeah,
no, we can send as much food as we want to Venezuela. It's not going to get there.
Yeah, I imagine. I've seen
it's not getting to the people that need it. That's
I'm probably
problem.
Way off on this, but like 2/3 of the food that is actually produced just rots away.
A lot of it does. Yeah. A great percentage of it does. Fuck. Because there's the people that have it and the people that don't, but that's because of
there's always going to be haves and have-nots.
And political. These are geopolitical problems.
Those stories about people having to like pour fucking bleach on their, you know, excess food at the end of the night so the bums don't get it out of the dumpster, to me, is just like insane. Well, everybody's heard those stories about like my boss made me pour bleach on my donuts.
Walmart has certain stores, I hope, that whatever excess it is, they give to the homeless or whatever, which they should do instead of letting it rot.
They
That's
should.
Crazy. But, you know.
But at the same time, I don't want, if I'm a company, I don't want, you know, a group of bums who have figured out that I'm throwing away good shit every night because this is what I do. I can't now sell it. I don't want this to be known as the place where bums go to eat my trash. I'm throwing bleach on it because I don't want these 30 fucking guys outside
my
business.
Now you're talking
about
economic.
Well, and if they give it away and somebody consumes it.
What if one of these bums is climbing into my dumpster, slips and busts his head? Now he's got a lawsuit against me because I'm in the normal course of business.
That's fair.
Throwing away my lawful trash. You know what I mean? And now I've got these guys trespassing.
But I think you're agreeing then. I mean, getting back to the point, is going to Mars a priority?
No.
It's not.
No.
Right?
I don't
think
so.
Well, that's what they said about the moon, too, in the 60s. A lot of people. Remember,
I'm for
any unmanned. There were people with these placards up, you know, solve problems on Earth before you go to the moon.
Have you guys seen the video of Neil deGrasse Tyson speaking in front of, I believe it was Congress, I'm not sure, but he was trying to help NASA get more of their budget back. And he explained to them that during this space race that we're talking about, how the attitude and the feeling in America was so, like, let's look forward. You know, we're looking to the future. We're doing new shit. Like, we as a country, we're just so much just ready. Like, hey, we got to the moon. We're you know,
right.
There was hope. There was
this
so much.
This is a matter of national pride.
Exactly.
It wasn't, we're getting there so we can invent all these new things.
I don't think that same thing would happen now. Like, what would it take to cause that sort of feeling in America that this space race and us winning it, getting the moon, and everybody, you know, just...
But I'm not sure.
Let me ask you this. What's the difference between that and the Olympic type stuff where you have, yeah, it's more or less a national pride? Why do we put all this money towards our Olympic teams and build these stadiums and fund these athletes just to train
for people to watch?
Exactly the same thing with space, though.
No, space. We don't go to space for people to watch. We go to space so we can learn.
Part of it.
We don't do the Olympics to learn.
I mean, why would we go to? We don't go to the moon. Like, Kennedy wasn't going to the moon to learn. He's going.
That's such a minuscule. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. You think if we had a bill that said, "Look, instead of whatever the national budget is for this, we're going to divert 10% of our GDP to pure science, ideally health." Because a lot of these things, I mean, we do give a lot of money to science, but some of it's studying snails on treadmills and stupid shit.
Are you asking me would I contribute an extra 10 cents? What are you asking?
Well, I'm just, would it pass? Do you think most people say, yes, do that?
Probably
even
not.
Tax me more.
I don't
as
think
long
most
as my money. I would.
I don't think most people would.
Really?
I don't think most people would.
If it's going straight towards health and longevity, right. I would say young people wouldn't give a fuck about that. It's us who are on the
I would say it would be
of
more
lives.
Of the young people that would give a fuck about
it. I think I'd say
it.
It's
yeah.
us. It's more important, like me and Armand or us who passed the middle point of our life, where you really start to think that we're, you know, mortal and start thinking about that. Did you think about your death in your early 20s as much as you probably do now?
No, what, you think about dying?
Everybody thinks about dying, I would think. Don't you think
I'm
about
sure
dying from time to time?
Yeah, the older you get,
I've thought
about
like
about
what
it
feels like to not be able to take another breath. And is there a moment A period in between you take your
last
breath.
You never thought about the impending death.
No, but I mean, there's a point in your life where you say, look, I'm going to die. And that's probably after 25. You never, you know, you think you're immortal at 20,
or
25.
Well, the thought never doesn't really enter your brain until after 25 or so. You start to think about this is going to end. When you start noticing wrinkles in the actual act of aging hasn't become, the good part of aging is going from young to fucking strong adult. Mm-hmm. And once you reach strong adult and it's all downhill, then you start to think about the fucking mortality of you're going to die. So what I'm saying is young people don't have that concern as much as people who see these wrinkles every day throwing, or who have prostate problems or fucking heart attacks.
Or gray hair in
or gray hair.
Or can't get it up.
Yeah, I'm going to continue. If you don't have gray hair, you're probably not super worried about, you know, death coming soon.
So, but I'm already content with the fact we're going to die. We're not stopping that. You know what I mean? So death is a natural part of life. And that's going to fucking happen.
It doesn't scare you at all that you're going to die someday?
How's that going to affect me to be scared right now of dying? All it's going to do is hurt. It's going to make my fucking head be thinking about it constantly.
Would you
give
money to the pursuit of immortality?
I would give money to the pursuit of immortality. On the off chance, it may help me. But if it doesn't, it'll help someone else.
But
maybe
the point being
my lineage would help.
As at our advanced age, it's more of a priority for us than the younger people who I would say would be like, no, let's do space exploration. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going off of like how most young people are like vegans and environmentalists and, you know, they want to preserve everything. We can't do this. The environment's too bad, you know. So I'm thinking that would help. Like, wait, we can be immortal. We need to put this into that so we can.
Yeah, but that's two different ways of thinking. The your vegans and whatnot are like, let's just live a healthy lifestyle. We're talking the science of forced health. You know what I mean? To make sure your body is always tip top shape. That's
do you have to? Oh, there's a question. Do you have to take the injection to make you not age anymore? Can you choose to die? Because if so, this is
now
a whole different topic. Now, I think we've had this topic before. I think we concluded that if you take the immortality pill, you have to go sterile, and then otherwise, and you don't have to go immortality.
You're like a vampire. You can't have kids.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's put this one to bed. We were like three topics past the moon landing at this point.
That's when we get our best conversations, though, is whenever we're off topic and just talking about whatever shit comes to mind.
Well,
I still don't know I don't know if anybody answered. Did they think we went to the moon or not? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the
nobody ever answered me either about how the audio was at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, I don't think they're here for us. I think they're just here to hang out.
Yeah, okay. They talk to each other.
Really
talk
I
want
to really want to know.
Yeah,
you know,
so
I think they're pretty intelligent people. Listening.
Somebody make a poll in the group. Did we go? Did we not?
Yeah,
we'll get it figured out. We'll give you the results next week.
See,
but if you know there's a group,
we'll get it.
Should we have gone or was it a
waste? You put that poll in our group. 80% of the people are going to use it as an excuse to make a joke. You know what I mean?
Well, that's fun.
Most people, a lot
you
like
gotta
you,
got to remove
don't
ad poll
the wrong
options.
Way. Don't take this the wrong way, but you can't wait to do stuff like your fucking Sonny reference and continue to fucking push that.
No, when it pops in my head, why am I not say it, though?
And
if it's on if it's on topic, why am I not say it?
What did Marissa really what Marissa you said go. She answered? We answered. Who answered?
We weren't paying attention.
Yeah,
maybe they did
it's
answer.
It's our fault. Maybe we're just arguing.
It's never our fault.
But was it worth it, then? Was it worth it? Could we have done something better with that money? Because it did cost a certain amount of money.
It's a point of view. Better is a point of view.
Priority, yeah. What's the priority here? Well, you know what I mean?
I'm asking you, was it worth it?
In my opinion.
In 69?
What did we get out of it?
In 69? Yeah, it was definitely worth it because of what it caused, what it meant for America. It was worth it.
But it's not worth doing again or going to Mars.
We already did it.
We already did it, man. What, it's just a risk reward. Like, why? What's the
same goal we filled in the 60s by getting to the moon? Because could that goal be a worthwhile goal today? No.
Right. At
I don't
the same
think so.
Cost of
That's
like
ignorance.
GDP. You know, if it was the same percentage of GDP and the same effort that went into it to go to Mars,
honestly,
you
I don't
even
think
it.
You could adjust. Like, you couldn't even spend. You, if they were to do this same mission today, it would. You know what? It would cost fucking 100 times more than what it cost in 1969.
But I'm talking about inflation. Getting all that out of the. You know, the same amount of GDP.
You said percentage of GDP,
right?
So.
Mm-hmm. Same percentage. Mm-hmm. Adjusting for inflation.
You saying would we have enough money if we adjusted for inflation?
Would it be worth even trying? Because there's certainly no guarantee that's going to succeed.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, you wouldn't even do it.
There's better uses.
I say unmanned is much cheaper.
Everybody was saying that.
Unmanned is much cheaper and gives you just as much, if not better, results.
Yeah, because you don't have a point of view or somebody, you know what I mean? Like somebody that's.
I mean, if you
have data.
A probe, a robot, and be there as an avatar for a human, why put a human in danger? Especially whenever the avatar can be stuffed with telemetry instead of a human. Who is so fragile they have to be inside of a suit with a level of insulation between them and the land there.
If the guy wants to do it,
let the guy do it.
It's voluntary. You're not
Just because he wants to do it doesn't mean I want to spend the money on it just because you got the hankering to go to Mars. Fuck you. Well, I'd rather live forever, but it's my priority versus yours.
That
so.
Supports Armand's well, decision that future space exploration will be private because the government won't, you know what I mean?
There you go.
Well, I got to say,
at the end of the day, private,
am
do
I the
whatever
only guy among the three of us that when I see, I mean, I watched that movie, First Man or whatever the hell it's called.
Sure.
And I got to say, I was very proud when that is like, wow, we really did something. I mean, that's something that you can't put a value on. Even
yeah,
50
they
years
got
later,
you right what they wanted to do.
Yeah, well, but
that makes me proud to be an American.
It's the same way I felt when I was explaining that, or you know, when I watched that speech from Neil deGrasse Tyson addressing Congress about why NASA needs a fucking budget here. Why we have to give them more? Because he basically
did he say he want to go to Mars with it though?
If
we did go to Mars. Just imagine it, and we're watching on TV, probably, you know, now, who knows what we'd be watching it on, but wouldn't you, I think I'd be pretty flush with pride, like, wow, my country, what an accomplishment that is.
NASA's personal stream service for $9.99, you can watch them land.
Whatever,
on,
yeah,
on
you could probably get a cam and everything else and do it with him, be there with him, but wouldn't you be flush with pride if we did that?
Yeah, but that, again,
it's not worth it, it's still not worth it.
It's
though.
Because I would say that we've been brought up from birth to be, you know, patriotic, and as soon as we see it, it's like the same thing as your sports team winning the Super Bowl. It's the same thing as your sports team winning the Super Bowl. We won. We got there. I'm very proud to be part of this group.
But
I literally had nothing to do with it.
No,
but
let's say the Russians and the Chinese helped us. It was all a mass
so
United
as a human,
Nations
I'd be super,
effort.
Super
right,
proud
as a
of
human
that.
Being. Right, sure. Not just I mean, to beat the Russians.
It's obviously a great accomplishment.
Well, wasn't it Nixon, and I've mentioned it on the show before, that said, you know, I could imagine how the differences between countries that we don't align ourselves with would wash away if we were both, if the entire Earth was faced with a threat from outside.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
You know
well,
what
that's
mean?
What I'm saying.
You'd see those
a
differences
joint mission,
wash away.
Well, would you be proud as a human being?
Fucking A right, I would, yeah. I would definitely
but
be proud as a human.
It. It's still not worth $100
would
billion
you go out and buy the We Made It to Mars shirt like they want you to?
No,
would.
No, I'm cheap. I got pride for days, but money I don't.
Yeah,
so.
I'd probably steal one.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Now you're fucking thinking.
Yes. But, and I'd wear it, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. That's what patriotism is. Well, that's why they asked, what's his name? Mallory. Why did you climb Mount Everest? Because it's there.
Yeah.
Why
did
we go to Mars? Because we're humans and we do this shit.
That's what the fuck we do.
That's what we do.
Well, but that I'm just saying, that doesn't have monetary value to you, apparently, or not enough.
No, I'm
to merit $100 million or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
some
kind of
arbitrary.
I live in that weird set of like, if I could be a hermit and not be involved in any type of group, I would. So I have trouble getting excited for the accomplishments of others that I didn't have anything to do with. You know, it's like I didn't do that. You know what I mean? Why am I proud? I'm glad that humanity has accomplished things, but to be like. It's like those people who go out
horseshit.
In the streets of Dallas
that's
whenever the Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
That's horseshit. That's a false equivalency also because
Wait,
you are because you are you're talking about
well,
being part
means.
Of a team as like a sports team and being proud for something that you had
right.
no part in.
Right, humanity.
You're
no
equating that
right.
to being part of humanity's
scientific endeavors.
No, they're being
the
united.
Growth?
Humanity has united and overcome huge problems that have affected all of us versus this guy running a ball into an end zone. You can't equate those two things. Those are totally different. So you can't feel the same pride for your Cowboys that you can for the because I just think it touches a deeper part of.
Ask me this. Tell me this. You think Jono gives two fucks about space, but whenever the fucking Cowboys score, he's got that pride. It's all about what you're interested in. You can't say that you can't equate those two senses of pride. What I'm saying I can equate is because I had nothing to do with that touchdown. I had nothing to do with that rocket getting in space. I don't have.
We were talking about being a human and
okay,
being
yeah,
proud
being
of what
of
we have done.
But which I could say I'm glad that we did that as a human,
that's
but
a much
I can't
more
feel
important
the pride
team.
In my
yeah, but here's
personal
a different
pride.
Thing. Here's a different thing, though. When I saw that movie, it almost, well, not almost, it did inspire me. I could do better things. That's what it is. It's an inspiration. You're
How
not
long
taking
did it
credit.
Inspire you for that, though?
Not long, but I mean, okay, but at least it helps. You
right.
Know?
No, I you're like I said, it totally gets you in a different spot
right.
than being
Maybe
happy
I can be a better man.
Over a win.
Maybe
you know what I mean? Like it,
right.
it's not the
and that's,
same,
that's
man.
Worth something.
It really
it's supposed
is.
To be. It's
something.
An inspirational movie. I mean,
well, I'm just talking about the act, but not the movie. The act itself. It's like, wow,
yeah.
we did that. Maybe there's something I can do that I'm not trying hard enough to do.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, I think
if
all of us
are that way. It inspires a young scientist to be, you know,
I would
like
say all
whatever,
of us.
To be the next Einstein.
Weren't we talking about that the other day, or maybe it was me and my wife, that we get down on ourselves that we're not, you know, like we know these chores we got to do. We don't think we do enough. We only think we don't do enough because we know we could kill ourselves and do more. It's being happy with what you do and live a happy life. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where I'm going with that now, but
I think my point is that maybe we'll inspire some kid to be a scientist later and get the next Einstein or Steve Jobs.
In that case, it would be worth it. But there's no way to quantify that to people explain it. Like,
but I think that's the kind of ineffable thing that happens from these things that you can't put any value on. And I think that's why that's the counter to that. Yeah, sure, it's a lot of money, but if it inspires more kids to get into the space or science and to do better things.
Yeah, if it makes one kid not want to be a dumbass and that kid does something great because he watched
then maybe it is worth it.
Then maybe. You're right. And yeah.
I guess I'm too introverted. You know what I mean?
You don't buy that argument.
I'm not saying jaded.
You might say bullshit.
I don't look to the outside for my inspiration. If I wanted to do something, I do it because it was in me to want to do it. I don't know.
You could feel joy in a victory for humanity?
No.
You don't think you would?
If we were fighting against aliens and they were coming, like, it was aliens are going to wipe us out, yeah, I would sure as fuck feel glad that we won.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't feel glad because we were alive.
What if you're watching a Mars landing with your kid who's like 10 years old and wanted to be a garbage man
and doesn't get it
and saw this and said, Dad, okay, I think I want to be a scientist. I think
Let's
I want to
have fun with
I'm going to change the
you.
World.
I get
well, how would that make you
that
feel?
Wouldn't make
say,
you feel
wow,
good?
Maybe it's worth it. We did it.
That Mars landing made your kid think she wants to change the world now?
There's going to be a million different things to make. It just depends on what the kid walked by and saw that day. You know what I mean? It could be they saw the moon landing or they could have saw Olympic diving.
That's not going to make you want to that Olympic diving's the inspiration level is not there. Yeah, I'll jump off a board.
That's what I'm saying.
You're
missing
so,
my
man.
Point. It's whatever a kid sees at that one point in time.
But that's what I'm saying. This inspires them to go into science instead of being a synchronized swimmer. Maybe
if that matters.
We're hatching the new.
Maybe that kid figures out interstellar travel because he develops the fucking formula
saying.
That can let you travel at speed light.
Maybe.
You know?
Well, a lot of people say that. They were inspired by whatever, Einstein or
is there anything,
to be a physicist.
Could you be proud of an accomplishment that was not your own?
No, because what did I do?
You are a human.
But I'm just it's like saying I'm proud to be white. You get what I'm saying? I didn't do nothing to be white. I'm not going to be proud just to be something. I'm not proud to be a human and take fucking pride in something this human over there did.
That's small-minded comparison because being white, I'm not talking about being white. I'm talking about eliminating that entire aspect.
Being part of a group and taking, putting yourself in a group and then taking credit or feeling pride for something this group has done whenever, in all honesty, you had nothing to do with it.
All right.
Are
you
proud to be an American?
Here you go. No, hang on. I'll do it like this.
To a point, yeah, I'd rather be American than anything else. But what I'm saying is,
you didn't do anything about that. It's just an accident of birth.
But I can't take personal pride or really have pride that we won World War II or won Iraq. I had nothing to do with it. I'm glad we did.
Yeah, but when the national anthem plays, you're proud, right? Because this is my country and it's the greatest country on earth, I think.
You've never caught a feeling from I'm proud to be an American.
That's different. That's proud to be an American, not proud for an accomplishment. Pride for an accomplishment is different from difference from a self of being. That's two different things. I'm saying, yes, I can be proud to be an American.
Why? You didn't have nothing to do with it. You were just born here.
Right. I'm glad I'm American rather than pride. How about that? I'm glad I'm American rather than somewhere else because it's obvious.
You don't buy my point, though, that it may doing these things inspires
totally
a new generation
do.
Of scientists. And
but
people.
You're not listening to my point that I guess I'm too introverted to take any of the inspiration.
No, I get it. You don't take pride in it. I get it. I'm just saying, that aside,
I
think is what how people explain
all this
stuff.
And if that's worth
it
to you, then fine.
If I can relate this to you in an easy way, that place where you feel that little bit of pride when you feel the song went, I'm proud to be an American.
I don't feel
the
that
place,
like you do, I guess.
You just said that you understand what we're saying here.
I understand it, but I'm
so
not
you
saying
have felt
feel
some
it.
Sort of like feeling from an outside source that you had nothing to do with. That's exactly what he's talking about. It's the same place that it could be to a different degree or a different level.
But, okay, it's not the same because we were talking before about accomplishment versus just a sense of being. You know what I mean? It's like I can't take – if, like, you went in the other room and made a million points on Pac-Man – and since I was somewhat responsible for you getting this job, I feel pride that you were able to get a million points on Pac-Man.
I would say more that I'm your brother than you.
Either which way, I had nothing to do with your accomplishment.
Or even your kid.
I'm
How
happy.
About your kid
doing I had nothing. Maybe I'm proud because I created that kid. That's the only close thing. I'm proud that I was took part in creating something that did that. But I didn't do
what
my
if you
kid
were
did.
Responsible for nurturing someone's interest in a certain
then
subject
I could be proud
and
that
then
I did
hammer
that.
Off.
But I'm not going to be proud of fucking making a million points when it wasn't me who made the million points.
Yeah, well, but you voted for the bill and you helped nurture this kid's opinion. No, you get what I'm saying, though. Like, would you vote for the bill?
Let me put it this way. I'm totally anti-government on everything.
Uh-huh.
But if there's one thing maybe government should do, it's inspire its citizens, besides keeping them safe,
yeah.
Inspire their citizens to achieve more than they would without the government.
Well, they are.
And I think.
No, not without the government.
Government, right, funds this, and well, like I said, I can imagine how people, when this moon landing was, I was there. I was just a little kid. I was like 6 years old, and I remember it. I'm sure you guys don't. You might not even been alive.
No, but that was 1969.
I really didn't know the gravity of what was going on, but I'm sure people that were like a little older than me, maybe it did spur people, and a lot of people were like, wow.
It was a 9/11 moment, but opposite feelings. So right. Everybody knows where they were when that happened. When, you know what I mean? Like, you know what was going on, and at the time it didn't seem, it was bad. But like years later, you look back on it as the greatest tragedy. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much worse.
Same thing with the atom bomb. Even the physicists didn't know what they had unleashed there.
Right.
You know, that was, to them, it was a big success. Wow, we did something. It was great. And then they realized, oh, Jesus, what did we just make?
A weapon, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they dropped it on Hiroshima.
I always got kind of jaded on that one, too. It's like, you didn't know what the fuck you were doing. Or like, after the fact, you had to wait till after your fact to realize the gravity of the situation, what you
they
did.
They knew, though.
It's like in the movie Real Genius when they created that laser.
But they were told,
and
can't get talked to
by God.
War.
You created a 13-megawatt laser with a giant mirror for targeting. Did you not think it was a weapon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right, like how do you?
But they justify that by saying, "Listen, we're destroying
science,
Nazi. We got to do it before the Nazis do it. You know, if they get it, the world will be a new dark age. You know, you have to understand."
You support like crazy weapons, like earthquake machines, just to develop them before some other country does?
No,
no,
no, I don't.
Okay, I was just wondering. That was awful. Also,
the greatest waste of all is what we spend on defense. Believe me, mm-hmm. we waste so much money on bullshit wars and stupidity. Right? I think if you put that on a ballot, said, look, we bring all our troops home, close down all these 100 bases in 170 countries, and put it all into science, I think most people say do it.
I would.
I'd say science is a better spend than war. Well, that's just
sure.
But
that's another thing government does. Scares the piss out of everybody, so, you know, we think that we need them.
Government, news, family. I mean, everybody uses fear to get their point across, so, I mean.
Well, fear always trumps over knowledge, unfortunately. That's just human nature. That's why we get war instead of going to Mars or whatever.
Apparently we missed something good in the chat, and they're like, we'll have to go back through and see what that was.
Yeah, I'll read it later. I'm too busy talking.
But you guys got any more? We're wrapping it up.
Yeah, I think we mind all we can.
Wrap it up, yo.
One.
All right. We'll catch you all next week. Yeah, thank you for listening.
Goodbye,
appreciate it. We haven't been more shows, and we won't be back on next week. We have huge tournament in St. Louis that we're doing.
Again. Relative. Huge is relative. Compared to Dota.
Huge for Halo. Biggest Halo tournament in the last decade.
There you go.
So,
keep your humbleness. You know what I'm saying? That's my only point. It's huge for us. It's a big deal for us. Anyway, thanks for listening. Check out SurrealTalkPodcast.com. Vote in the poll. YoRadio.com for the best in streaming radio. We got the new channel I'm launching on Yo Radio within the next few weeks, Rabbit Hole Radio. Look out for that. And otherwise, we'll catch you next time.
We're doing Rabbit Hole
Radio. It's going real good. I got a lot of bigger podcasts signed to it, like, for instance, the Higher Side Chats.
Higher Side Chats will be on the Yo Radio station?
He's agreed to allow us to use his content on there. So
nice.
Brohio, a bunch of them. I mean, there's all kinds of casts out there.
Rogan?
Nah, not Rogan. I didn't even contact him. No, it doesn't really work. Anyway, we'll catch you guys next week. See
Thanks for coming, you guys.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.